And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, December the 10th, 2009. It is the Swiss Chef episode. I almost call him by the real name, but it's the Swiss Chef episode. Don't forget, you can hit us up on Twitter, at In-Game Chat is our Twitter name thing. Also, email us, InGameChat at, or everyone at InGameChat.net, and give us a call at 201-7-IN-GAME. And then don't forget to visit the forums over at ColonyGamers.com. And you can comment on the episodes over there and leave feedback as well. So appreciate everybody that does. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
Hey, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Dennis.
I'm Dave.
Dave is here. You did not hear RJ's voice. He is not here tonight. He will be here probably with us next week. He's not sick. Just had some car trouble. He is fine. But
apologize for everyone who missed the sultry sounds of RJ.
As they appear every three or four episodes when he speaks. What do we talk about tonight?
Whatever.
Oh, shit, he keeps the notes, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
There's a lot of stuff in here, so just, you know, enjoy the episode.
Scott insults Scandinavian countries.
That's something
to look forward to.
A little about Assassin's Creed versus Assassin's Creed 2.
We actually talked about news this time. Normally it's a lot of what we play, but because it's kind of been a dead week, we actually talked a lot of bit about the news in this one. So enjoy the episode, and... yeah, bye.
Fuck. Oh, man. What is that shit called?
Hashish?
Oh, no. I mean, I've had all the good drugs. I'm talking about stuff to watch while you smoke your drugs.
Oh.
No, it's really great. It's the one that, with the gay Russian army Urkel. yeah.
I don't know, Master.
Huh?
Mesh.
No, you're going in the wrong direction. Yeah, obviously I haven't smoked enough pot.
I wondered why MASH would be great for that. It didn't make any sense.
Actually MASH is pretty fucking funny, but...
I couldn't think of anything else that could possibly match up with... Yeah.
Hold on, I'll figure it out. Hey, Dave.
Well, I can already tell you Google's gonna, you know, not bring back what you want for gay
Hey,
Russian.
Fuck you. Gay Russian army? And it already auto-completed my suggestions. Fuck you. I didn't make that up. That's from Joel McHale, so. Yeah, I'll figure that out. Yo Gabba Gabba, that's what I'm talking about. Yo Gabba Gabba. You what, dude? You think I'm fucking around. You watch some of that shit, it will make you want to run out and talk to a friend. That's all I'm saying. It's good stuff. I really regret it. Please, somebody... Somebody think of the high-ons. Invest in the revenue stream. Legalize that shit, please. God, it's been forever. Did you do the thing? Did you, You didn't do it, did you? You didn't.
What was I supposed to do?
Did you read?
Yeah, I read.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Couldn't have done it that fast.
I read what I wanted to read.
What you want and what is necessary for our show are not really the same thing.
Doesn't stick anyway.
Yeah. Well, too bad.
Unless I want to read it, it still doesn't stick.
We need to work on that. When's the old boys movie come out? Guy, what's his name with the money? You know, and the money, and he made whatever movies his wife took. Big guy. Makes lots of movies. With effects and things. He's got a movie coming out.
James Cameron?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Isn't it coming out this month?
Actually, New Year. He's not actually kidding about this. This is real. I can't figure out who he's talking about right now.
Once every 12 years.
When's his movie coming out?
Next Friday.
Next Friday.
Am I the only one that doesn't really want to see that one?
Really don't care.
Whatever, man. I have an obligation.
Well, no. It's like I mean, man, I've really like seen one of his movies I didn't like, but I'm just like, this one I'm just not excited for.
No, that's a different thing. I'm not excited about it. I'm sure I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
Why the fuck wouldn't I go see it?
Yeah.
I'm going to put my stupid goddamn glasses.
Glasses.
And I'm going to go see the bitch, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about it. And it's like... six kinds of shit, you know? Because it looks stupid, and I'm going to go see it. It's fine. I'm going to talk about it right here in
I just saw one last night.
2 weeks.
World's Greatest Dad with Robin Williams. It's hilarious. It's written and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. It's really fucking... They said the same thing. She's like, Robin Williams, not so much. And I'm just like, I'm telling you. Once every, like, you know, 15 movies of his, it's just like, okay.
Right. Where he's not playing a sad fucking clown.
Yeah.
Make me a bike, you clown.
But, yeah, really fucking funny movie. He basically, like, walks in on his son, who's, like, autoerotic asphyxiated, and he's expired, and he has to, like, make it look like a suicide.
Nice.
And then, of course, it being a suicide, they published the kid's suicide letter, which, you know, Robin Williams typed up. Like
I suppose
in the
this is what
newspaper.
So this is what passes for comedy when you've spent a year living on a glacier.
Yeah. But and then everybody.
Welcome back to the heat. By the
yeah,
way.
Yeah. But it just gets out of control.
Let me ask you, since we haven't really talked since when was the last time you were here? May.
Yeah.
You were here on one of our shows in May, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What have you played since then?
What have I played?
You haven't played much.
No,
actually,
I played...
For being stranded on a glacier.
What's the Explosion Man, I played that. Batman, I played. Really liked that. Wolverine, I played. Really liked.
Glad you played that.
About 2 weeks ago, it's like I'm going back.
See, the thing about Xbox is...
I gotta play this before...
The thing about the 360 is I can look and see what you've been doing. And no, I was like, Wolverine's a very good game.
No, it is.
He's got it right there to play. Yeah. I know he's got nothing else to do.
There's no time, though.
Plenty of time to update your fucking live drone.
Not on there either. Honestly. No. I mean, that's, twice a month, too?
Mm. So, Explosion Man and Batman and lots of mans going on. And Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Wolverine Man.
A lot of Rock Band. A lot of Rock Band 2. And Guitar Hero 3, I think. But not on my Xbox. That's more of a kind of community thing. But yeah, that's a little bit of Fallout 3, but not much. That's one of those things I was thinking about getting back to, you know, being here. Just because, you know, there's a lot of free time while everybody's at work.
How long are you going to be here for?
Through first part of the beginning of January. I'm going to try and leave on Monday the 4th. So, should be here for New Year's and have to hit the road. But, yeah. I'm imagining we're on right now. No.
Yeah, no, of course, yes.
That's really about it. I don't know. What else has come out that's been really big? I'm trying to think because again I'm like 4 weeks behind, 4 or 5 weeks behind.
Well, forget you don't have a PS3, so like you missed out on Infamous and you missed out on Uncharted 3.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted 3
or
Uncharted 2.
Expecting a bit much
from the future, I take it. How are things, you know, a couple years from now?
Pot legal yet?
Everything's okay with you. It's your kids.
I don't know. What else? You were asking me about some stuff. Or you have been asking me about. Hey, what was this?
That's what the thing in Norway was. It was Scott getting back from the future.
I heard the Naughty Dog episode, and then I think I'm one or two past
cool
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's like a black hole just opened right up.
You saw what it was, right?
I'd heard some of the discussion on Brutal Legend, which I played a little bit of that.
You played some Brutal Legend?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I thought it was funny. I didn't spend more than like half an hour with it, so I can't really give like a good opinion on it, I don't think. But what I played, it was fun. Excuse me.
Did it make you want to play more?
Yeah. I mean, I would have played more as for like a rental.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'd been a buy, but been one to spend like 2 or 3 days with, maybe. Just the whole metal part of it, I thought it was pretty funny. The guys with the big, you know, bent over neck, it was pretty funny. The headbanging, you know, minions.
What else? Anything else you got to get your hands
Anything
on?
Else? Now watch some folks play Modern Warfare 2, which, you know, I thought was alright, but again, that's another shooter. Play some Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead.
I know you haven't caught up with all the episodes. What episode are you listening to right now? Currently.
Hold up here on iTunes.
iTunes.
How far behind are you?
Oh, yeah. I think about 5 episodes back.
Oof.
I was like 4, and then you guys put one out just Friday or Saturday, I think. The Awesome Technique episode from 3rd of November. That's where I'm at. A little ways through that.
Just before we tell you how much we hate Modern Warfare 2.
Really? Awesome. Well, like, I was watching guys in the dorm play that, and it was like, cool, you know, multiplayer deathmatch. It's fun. It's awesome. But they were telling me it's a single-player campaign, right? Like, storyline. It's like, dude, man, come on. Like, Bioshock, that's cool, but if you're playing, like, a military-type game, you kind of want to play with, like, more than one person. It's, like, at least I would, anyway.
Yeah, we kind of felt the same way.
Yeah.
Because we'd done it in a game previous.
Oh, so the first one was like, God.
The game that was released, not Modern Warfare,
uh-huh.
But there was Modern Warfare, and then there was Call of Duty World at War.
Uh-huh.
That was co-op.
Okay.
Then there was Modern Warfare 2. That does not have co-op.
Yeah, that's...
It doesn't.
There wasn't enough room after all the awesome in there. It's like, God, we wanted to put a second player in here, but, you know, it's too awesome.
At least two players.
It's too awesome for two people. It's
fuck that. That's,
yeah.
No. Not in this day and age. When you can do, like, multiplayer on Explosion Man, I mean, it's like, you know, that's... Then I saw something on the COG main page. You guys are doing something, I guess, with the Christmas... Was it the child's
play? Charity drive. Yeah.
That's pretty fucking
that
cool.
That was, Track Zero, Drew, mm-hmm. reminded me, like, on Friday, this past Friday, said, oh, don't forget to look into, and I was like, shit, thanks for the reminder, I need to do that. And I just happened to look at my phone, because I was going to call, over to Naughty Dog,
mm-hmm.
and talk to them about doing something over there, but I saw an old text message I'd gotten from Josh Bear, one of the guys at Twisted Pixel, back there in PAX. He was like, hey, I hear you're really sick, but I'm getting that way too, blah, blah, blah. It was the first, and so I called him up, and we talked for a bit, and a really cool guy. They're headed to L.A. this week because of the VGA Awards.
Yeah.
They're nominated.
Saturday.
So they're headed to L.A. this week, and I said, hey, we're thinking about, you know, we're doing this charity drive thing, and could we get a couple of guys, they had helped out the Desert Bus guys, I think, I can't remember what they did, but they had helped out the guys doing the Desert Bus for Hope, and I said, yeah, is there anything you can do for us, maybe a, you know, co-op with dev sort of thing, and they're like, sure, put us down, we can do that.
That's awesome.
And I said, could you put somebody's name in the credits of Comet Jumper when it gets released? I don't normally like to touch other people's babies and shit, because I don't want to go messing around. He's like, you know, he's like, what kind of independent company could I be if I can say that, sure, we can do that? So, boom. It was like, yeah, put us down. We'll do
That's really cool.
So, yeah. So, some lucky winner in the raffle will get their name. We'll get a special mention in the credits of Comet Jumper.
Well, just the fact that they're like, willing to just do that. And it's like, yeah. I mean, because it takes, like, no effort. It's just, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, small things like that really do count, I think. Not to mention the fact that their games are, like, really fucking great. But.
Well, I was asking him how far along they were with Comic Jumper. They're doing some voice direction right now. Or at the time, he was working late that night. But they're not even in alpha yet. So it's still a ways away. I said, do you have any achievements made up? And he's like, no, I got a preliminary list, because when we send it to Microsoft, we have to have that there. But none of which is set in stone. So
that would be a good prize right there.
What, get your name in an achievement?
Well, yeah. Well, like there's this game I played, and I don't know if any of you guys played it.
But dude, David Dresch.
Dead Samurai. What's the sub-name?
Dishwasher?
Yeah, Dishwasher, Dead Samurai. Great game. I mean, like you know, I posted on COG, like, when they announced, like, Final Fight was coming, it's like, woo! You know, I fucking love, like, side-scrolling 16-bit, like, just, you know, beat 'em up. It's like AB, and then there's the special, you know, AB combo button. It's like, woo! You know, Hagar punches, Hagar jumps, Hagar does a spinning, you know, clothesline. And there's an achievement on Dead Samurai where it's, and I don't know the guy's name, you guys probably do. I guess he was, like, head maybe over at Microsoft or something, but the guy was playing like Rock Band or Guitar Hero, accidentally hits the little Xbox
Peter Moore.
Yeah, there's a Peter Moore achievement in Dead Samurai, the Dishwasher Dead Samurai. But they get to a point where it's almost like Guitar Hero, where you can go up and you start playing guitar, and you know, it's okay, hit the blue button now, hit the red button here. Mm-hmm. Well, if you hit the little Xbox button on the controller, it gives you an achievement. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what, 3 points, 5 points, something, but it's just, it's something silly. But somebody had recommended that on a podcast, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, you could have the in-game chat, you know, unlockable something for, you know, Comic Jumper. I don't know, right? You'd have to put more thought into it, but I just thought, that's hilarious. Because eventually when that game came out, you know, it's like, hey, here's a unlockable achievement.
Well, to tie in with getting new raffle prizes for COG, I can go ahead and say this, because by the time this episode hits, it'll already be good to go, but Naughty Dog is giving us the Uncharted 2 proof disc autographed. I have no idea. She's taking a picture. I don't know what is different about, you know, what does that mean, proof disc? I don't even know what that term means. But a signed poster, an autographed poster by the devs. Obviously some co-op time with the devs. They're going to do some of that, and multiplayer time with the devs. And the other thing they're trying to get, and they're checking right now to see if they have a spare one to do. They believe that they do. But possibly a Fortune Hunter edition of the game to be put in the raffle.
Cool.
Nice. So, a lot of good stuff from them. So, head over to colonygamers.com, and for every $10 you donate, you get a raffle, get a chance to win one of the tons of prizes that they've got in the list there. So, and it's all for a good cause. 100% goes towards Child's Play. So, donate. All right, so that's basically your entire... how many months?
12.
Yeah, your entire 12-month stint on the Glacier. You played Wolverine, Explosion Man, and Batman.
Yeah, Fallout.
And watched people play other games.
And Dishwasher, and you know, Rock Band, Guitar Hero, stuff like that. Played Xena, you know. Party games, so you have multiple players. But yeah, as far as, you know, one-on-one stuff.
What did you find yourself playing the most?
I spent a lot of time on Batman.
Yeah.
When I was playing. Like, that was the most fun I think I've played in, as far as the game goes this year. Just, you know. It wasn't like a community style game. Or, you know.
Did you finish it?
No.
Where are you?
I think I'm, like, maybe halfway through it.
I'm not giving you shit.
It's bad, but, yeah. I think I'm, like, 50% of the way through it. Or 50% unlocked, or, you know, whatever. I've hit the Scarecrow 3 times.
Oh,
that's
really?
Indication, yeah. So I don't know how far.
That's got to be well past half.
Yeah, you're past half.
Because there are only 3 Scarecrow encounters.
Yeah. I haven't hit Croc yet, so I don't know if that's maybe up next.
It's so insignificant, really.
They have a fun game. Oh, God. So I'm trying to get Eric to get an Xbox. I'm like, you know, if you get one, that's the first game you get, and then maybe...
How anti-Xbox is he?
He's not anti-Xbox. He doesn't have a video game. He just bought a house. So it's like, every time I ask him for something, it's like, I don't have any money. I just bought a house, like, in October.
What good is a house if you can't have any video games?
Yeah, I know.
If you don't have a bunch of fucking toys to put in it, why would you buy a house?
Yeah.
It's just somewhere to keep your shit.
Yeah. RJ's not here tonight. He couldn't make it to the show tonight, which kind of sucks because we had a phone call come in for him. In the
he
voicemail.
Took so much shit over, like, Tekken in this like, one of the last episodes I listened to, and I was like, God, this guy's the most nice, you know, quiet guy, and somebody just called and just reamed him for it, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah, but he's also...
I get so many cool points for, like, just being cool about it and being like, you know what?
Yeah, but see, he gets that sort of stuff because he's so fucking stoic. Like, he's got his things, and he doesn't really budge off of his things, you know, and that's a little... That's a little weird for some people.
I love how you guys are, like, trying. It's like, this game is hard. You should get an Xbox. This game is hard. Yeah. You should get an Xbox. It's like, yeah, get an Xbox. You know?
No, I still don't have a full understanding of where that comes from with him. But, like, he doesn't, you know, want to talk about it. So I'm like, all right, cool. Maybe an Xbox attacked him in his childhood. I don't know.
Well, in just the week since we recorded, I only played one thing, and that was it. I played the Bayonetta demo, and shit, that was last night when I played it. I just, for whatever reason, work, and just whatever, no drive to want to just turn on the box and play it. I don't know why.
It's really annoying.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just no desire to turn it on and do anything for whatever reason. I mean, I did go back and I spent some time in Assassin's Creed 2 a little bit, went back and read the codex pages, mm-hmm. read the letters,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of dicked around. It's actually a lot of fun to... I guess, I don't know why it didn't occur to me to have fun doing this during actual... the run-through of the game, but now it's like all I want to do is throw money around and then poison the guards as they walk by so they can start killing, you know, whatever, and just sit down and watch it happen. I don't know why, but that's just fun for me. But yeah, that was it. That was pretty much it for me. Bayonetta demo. Who else has played it?
No.
You haven't played
just
it?
Just talk.
Okay.
He's not here.
Oh, yeah. The first level they put you in, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but when the second level they put you in, which is like this more open courtyard, the first level you're fighting on a falling clock tower.
That's cool.
Cheesy-ass music playing, but I couldn't really tell. It was a lot of button mashing for me, because I couldn't really tell what the fuck was going on and what I was really doing. Once they put me in this courtyard, though, for whatever reason, I started, you know, I guess, just taking my time with things and being like, okay, this does this, this does this. So it just popped up and said, you know, press this button. So I pressed it. Oh, now I get what's going on. I actually had fun with it in the second one, whereas during that first stage, I thought, man, this is not going to be for me. I don't want to play this. It'll be a struggle just to get through this demo if this is the way it's going to be. But then the second one, I was like, okay, now I kind of understand what you're doing here. And so I kind of enjoyed that, so... Now I'm looking forward to it, and definitely going to pick it up at a rental. Those really aren't my types of games, but this one...
Well, it was never going to be.
Yeah.
Mine either.
Yeah.
Do they not tell you what buttons do?
Yeah, they
do. In the demo, they do?
I mean...
So you just didn't think that... What you didn't recognize their authority in the matter of what buttons do? You decided not to pay attention?
Because everything was happening so fast, yeah, I really didn't pay attention much.
I bet it wasn't. I bet it's fine.
Well, I don't know. The first time in, like I said, that first stage they put you in, I really didn't know exactly what the fuck was going on. But by the second stage, I was able to follow along everything that was going on, what I was doing, and how things worked. And, you know, actually felt pretty good about it. Felt more confident in it, I guess you could say. But that was it. That's all I played. You had a bad back. You didn't play hardly anything.
I still played more.
I'm sure.
Than that.
I don't doubt it, man. Like I said, I did not have a...
I had zero free time and, like, couldn't even stand up for most of the last 4 days, and I still played more than that. But it's all stuff that I already had. So it's, you know, having put Assassin's Creed 2 away, I was able to go back to Dragon Age, which I didn't really enjoy. I don't know exactly what that was about. I don't know if I was still kind of on a... I don't know if I was carrying over with some of the things that I really liked about Assassin's Creed and just wasn't ready to move back into it. But I was really... I just didn't like anybody. I was doing the Dalish Elf section of the main campaign, which I understand. I understood in advance to be kind of weak.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to the others, but I just, like, I didn't have any, I didn't have any time for anyone. I don't want to do business with you. Like, you're a pussy. You won't just go kill something so you can marry that other girl elf. Like, I just don't have fucking time for you. And then I'd go to the next person with a thing above their head, and I'd be like, what's your fucking problem? Are you a pussy too? Fuck off. Like, that's just how I was. I was just like, I just want to whack shit with my shield, man. I just want to, like, fucking kill some shit. And there's too many pussies in this goddamn world who just won't get shit done. And I have to listen to their fuck shit. And all of a sudden, like, I'm very Morrigan about everything. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Why the fuck are we helping everybody who, like, lost some random shit or, like, you know, something caught on fire and it's all fucked up and I gotta go, you know, whatever, take care of it. I don't know. Fuck it. I just hated everybody in that world all of a sudden. Mostly because I could not, at a whim... stab them, poison them, bludgeon them, steal their weapon, break their neck, dump them in a canal, you know, pretend to be them, and then kill somebody else under their, you know, under, you know, cover of disguise or something. Like, it was just, the pleasures of Assassin's Creed were so immediate,
mm-hmm.
were so very, very immediate. And in Dragon Age, it like draws out like a blade sometimes. And I was in a place to appreciate that before. And it took, like, I just couldn't, I don't know. I didn't want to, it was very apparent to me, and I was very sensitive to the fact in that play session that I have to tease the very best out of the game. That the very worst is available right now. The worst possible outcome is almost always available on demand. Like, I can get there within, like, two clicks. You know, two choices within a conversation will lead me to not developing a relationship with this person, getting directly into a fight, you know, cock-punching them, taking their loot, and then never learning what could possibly mm-hmm. have happened. But in order to get the very best of something, like, it's got to be sort of begged and teased and tortured out of the game. And not that that wasn't there before, and not that I'm just now kind of enlightened to that reality, but I was really sensitive to it at this point in time, and I was just like, God, I just need to kill something, you know? I really need to kill something. So I would walk away from it, you know? I mean, I was okay. Yeah. I wasn't upset, and it did lead more or less directly to a place where I just killed a lot of things. But whatever. I did not have the same kind of... It's like it wasn't the same thing when I came back to it that it was when I left it. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that really changed was me. So right. I was like, all right, I gotta go do something else for a little while. So it was some of that. I think I did one or two more rounds of Bad Company 2. Couple of other, I don't know, it's nothing pointless, nothing new for me or for anybody else for that matter, so not really terribly noteworthy. Yeah.
Jerem?
About play?
Yeah.
Well, played a little bit of New Super Mario Brothers, co-op with the wife.
Yeah.
And despite what I'd heard about the game, it really is better single player.
You actually heard that it was better multiplayer?
I did hear it was better multiplayer.
The fuck did you hear that?
I wish I could remember so I could...
Yeah, no, because when you were telling me about it, I was like... When you were telling me about it, I was like, oh, no, because you were telling me how bad it was. I was like, yeah, man, I fucking heard that shit from, like, all over the place. That it was a bit of a miscarriage on the...
Yeah, co-op.
On the co-op.
Co-op doesn't work too well. It's passable, I guess, if, you know... want to play something with the wife or whatever, but no, it's much better single player. You're always running over each other, and you know if one gets too far ahead, well, you just can't get too far ahead, or you kill the other person.
That's ridiculous.
You know, they get smashed in between some shit, or you pull them off an edge. You know?
But it's basically like Collision. That's what it sounded like. Was like one of the big issues.
Yeah, you always run into each other, or knocking the other person up further in the air when they didn't really intend to go
right.
high or that direction or whatever. But other than that, single player, it's an absolutely fantastic Super Mario Brothers game. It's, you know, all the great shit from the new Super Mario Brothers DS game, mm-hmm. and they pulled in some other old great shit that had, you know, not made it in from like 3 and Mario World, like the Switch Palaces are back in, mm-hmm. The Koopa Kids, which I always thought were great, you know, end world enemies because it mixes it up more than just fighting Bowser or Bowser Jr. That's all back, you know. Yoshi's in there. It's a really good Mario game. So, like it. Just last night, I got to play some Saboteur.
Oh.
I need to play some more of it, but what I've played so far, I don't have a lot of positive feelings about it. I guess I'll start with the DLC, which is... the bit that unlocks the nudity and like some extra hiding places and some other stuff.
What is that? Is that basically it? Like, is there anything else
that it does?
Yeah, I mean, is it just titties? I mean, I know there's some other stuff there, but like
a handful of other things. But like,
but I mean, but it's like titties, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's.
Yeah, buy the game new, you get it for free. If you don't, you can pay the $3. You've rented it or bought it used to get it, and there was you know some concern that it was going to be just some tacked on shit because they had said something about like a VIP room
Uh-huh. Like, that sounds kind of cheesy. I haven't seen a VIP room yet, or maybe I have and didn't recognize it for what it was. But from the moment you start the game with the DLC, you know, because you get it before you start the game, if you have any inclination to.
Uh-huh.
And from like the opening credit sequence, it's apparent that like, yeah, this is the way they intended the game to be played, with the nudity unlocked, and it's not done like in a particularly juvenile fashion, which, you know, was also a concern, because if Rockstar had done it first, it would have been all GTA-ified and big American titties in your face.
Right. There's a place for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, I didn't want the first, like, big video game nudity thing to be that thing. Because, you know, got to deal with the politics of all that shit, too. So,
Which seems a little weird, because, like, there's a penis in GTA 4, right?
Was there?
I think in the DLC.
It was in the DLC.
Biker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like some dude's wang. Full Monty type.
I missed that somewhere.
No, we talked. I remember we talked about that, because that was a... remember that coming up. Ha. At some point. Because we tried to find the video and be like, really? Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. So but that just seems a little funny.
It's not juvenile. It's also not classy. It's just appropriate for the game and the setting. So you're in the cabaret club and there's topless women walking around.
Mm.
And in the credit sequence, it's, you know, topless girl singing and dancing or whatever. And it's fine, you know. It's pleasant to look at. You know, not all up in your face or anything. So great. Game itself, like, starts off. You're in the cabaret club, and like a guy comes up to you, and he's like, "Yeah, these are fucking Nazis, you know, suck." And you're like, "Leave me the fuck alone, yeah." And then he like starts getting on your case, and whatever, you decide to like go do something about the Nazis, because you're in Paris, and they're all up in Paris's shit, and you're an Irish guy, and whatever. So you go out and blow up.
Which is there a reason for that?
That you're Irish.
In well.
In Paris?
I'm sure you're Irish by birth.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why the fuck are you doing in Paris?
Yeah, they go into that in the prologue.
Okay.
But like, whatever, I was fine with just going and killing me some Nazis because they're Nazis. You know, they need a lot of reason to hate Nazis, but then after that's over, they take you into this big prologue. And they explain like why you're in Paris and like why you hate the Nazis as much as you do, more than just them being Nazis, very personal. And, but it was really too long. And he's a race car driver. Like, and you like have a thing where you have to like do a race. And you have to run around the thing three times, and like story stuff happens. And it was way too long. And you run off and find some Nazi shit. People get killed. But there's a really... it kind of crystallizes there at the end when basically what happens is the guy that you're, the main rival that you're racing against is German, and you're in Germany for this race, and the fucker, like, you pass him and he pulls out a gun and shoots your tire out, and so you're pissed at him, but like your sponsor, who's Italian, he's like, no, just let it go.
Jesus Christ.
You know, whatever, we're going to get out of here, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you and your buddy are like, no, fuck that guy. We need to, like, you know, do something to his car. So you follow him out of town, and he goes to this this place that's, whatever, I don't know. It's supposed to be, like, some German motor car thing, but it's a front for the Nazis doing, like, some terrible shit, apparently. You, like, grab his car and, like, run it off the cliff and bail out before it goes over and, you know, have some laughs, and then the Nazis are standing right behind you. And they torture you, kill your friends, and you escape. And,
of course.
Like, on your... but, like, as when he shoots your friend, like, there's really, really cool moment where, like, the color drains out of the world, which is the whole premise of the game, is it's black and white. As you defeat the Nazis, color comes back. But, like, the color drains out except for, like, his blue eyes and...
something really sort of Care Bear about that. You know?
But it was a really good moment. Up to that point, I wasn't feeling it. That moment was good. And then the escape from there was really good. Like, looking into the windows and seeing, like, you know, terrible Nazi shit going on.
Yeah.
And gunplay was was all right. Nothing spectacular, but not bad. But the climbing stands out after playing Assassin's Creed 2, especially.
Yeah.
It's functionally better than Assassin's Creed because
he does what you want him
to
do.
He does what you want him to do. Right. You never like fucking fall off the building or, you know, miss your mark or go in the wrong direction. He goes where you tell him to. The problem is that most of the time to get him to move up, you have to tap X to get him to jump up to the next thing. There's some places where you can just climb when you hold the stick, but most of the time you're like, well, I have to tap X half the time anyway. I'll just tap X and climb up the building that way. And it's, damn it. I had a word earlier when I was talking to you about it.
Mechanical?
Yeah. It's very mechanical. It's utilitarian. It works, but it's not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fun to climb shit. You just can. And there's too many reasons to climb shit for the climbing not to be fun. Anyway, when you finally get done with the too long prologue and it puts you back in Paris, you start going and doing missions that basically explain to you, like, okay, this is how the black market stuff works. Okay, this is how this thing works. And I'm not having fun yet. Well, there's only been, like, a couple of moments in the game where I've had any fun. So I'm waiting to see if, like, after basically the tutorial section after the prologue is done,
mm-hmm.
it'll start being fun. Also, the game is not pretty. I'm not going to win any awards for its graphics whatsoever. And in places, not only is it not pretty, because most of the time it's just, you know, kind of passable, but in places it's just outright ugly. Some of it might be that I'm playing on the PS3. Maybe it looks better on the 360, because whatever rendering thing they were using might be more specific to that. But when you see his race car in the prologue, the chrome is ugly as fuck. It's like all grainy and nasty and shit. It's got some of the ugliest water I've seen in a game in a long time. And there was a shot where they cut away and there was like a big, and it was the Eiffel Tower, actually. And I was like, holy shit, why is that so fucking ugly?
What the hell is that? Oh my god, it's the Eiffel Tower.
It just stood out. It didn't fit in with the rest of the game. You know, the rest of the game, you know, you see some buildings or whatever and they don't stand out as being ugly or beautiful. They're just, you know, there. But like, it looked horrible. And I keep seeing moments like that. Either the frame rate will drop and it'll kind of stutter a little bit here and there, or there's a lot of tearing in some scenes. But yeah, it was just, and it was, this was just a still shot of the building and it looked ugly as fuck. There's no reason for a still shot of a building to look that ugly. So yeah, this game wasn't done.
It'll never be done.
No.
Well, and it doesn't, motherfucker doesn't even work on ATI cards. The PC version.
Yeah, you were telling me about that earlier today.
The PC version just flat, plain old, full stop does not fucking work. On like the 3K, 4K, and 5K series HD cards, ATI, which is essentially, you know, all of them.
Yeah.
Like, that mean anything that would be powerful enough to run a modern game, even a fugly one. So, fuck them. Obviously, like, they didn't have their shit together. I mean, it's, like, whatever. Yeah, fine, it sucks. But, like, you know, we were thinking, why not simply just delay the release and then closure of the studio?
Mm-hmm.
3 months, 6 months. But
yeah.
By all reports, this bitch needed, like, another year at least. Mm-hmm. So
the character animations are kind of stiff, you know, compared to what we're used to. Mm-hmm. It needed a lot more work. But, I don't know. I'll give it a little bit longer and see if once I get into the meat of the game.
See if the fun comes in there somewhere.
Yeah, if there's some fun to be had. But I don't have a lot of, you know, well, really much of it at all. So, well, see what happens next week. If not, you know, I've got other stuff to play, so it's not a big deal.
Looks like you're playing Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Or Left 4 Dead 2,
yeah.
I think.
Me and Dennis and our friend Nick played a little bit of
Left
4 Dead 2.
Was the connection better?
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was great.
Probably because I wasn't there.
Well, no, we had problems.
Well, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, you couldn't connect to Nick. Nick couldn't connect to you. You could both connect to me.
Yeah.
But once we were all running with me being the server, there were no lag issues. Everything ran like butter.
Did you actually complete?
We completed
Dark Carnival, I think.
We completed three campaigns.
Oh, yeah, no.
Except I didn't get the achievement for one because you fuckers left me to die there as you ran into the helicopter.
There's like three tanks coming down on you.
Man, I was right by the helicopter. Nick ran over me to get to the helicopter. I'm like, Nick, help me up!
No!
So, yeah. But
I'm glad it worked out.
It was fun. It was good. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll find somebody to play a little bit more of that before I send it back.
Yeah, I've still got it, too.
Okay.
Dennis, other than Left 4 Dead?
It's been a while since I've been here, so...
Yeah, it has, actually.
Finished up Assassin's Creed 2, and... So I played a lot of 1v100. That came back on live recently. And ain't nothing better than sitting around just playing trivia sometimes. Aside from that, they released some new maps for Kingdom for Keflings, the first Avatar game that came out. Check those out. Interesting, but it is, you know, if you didn't like playing the first map on it, you know, it's not going to be your thing. And just started up Dragon Age. Like, just got that going the other day.
On
360.
360? Yeah. Where you play him?
Human Noble.
What class?
Warrior.
That's my main. My main dude is that. I will tell you this. It is worth it to play every variation of Origin,
yeah,
because there are key factors in each of those things that are apparent when you go visit that place. There are things, say, about the Dalish Elves that make a lot of sense if you play the Dalish Elf Origin. There are a lot of things about what's happening in the Mage Tower and with the mages in general if you play the Mage Origin story. When you go deal with them when you take that turn in the main story, like all of these different things, like when you go to Orzammar, if you've played both of the Dwarf Origins, like you have a very good understanding of stuff that's going on around you. So it's worth playing every single one of them just to the point of completing the origin story before you actually like really get too far. I found that it was like perfectly rewarding to do all of them before I experienced their particular place.
Yeah.
In the story. I would recommend it.
Yeah, I just figured I'd go just like, you know, plain vanilla guy. I was like, I didn't want to do a mage first time around because I knew they had a whole bunch of crap,
you know what,
and baggage with
them. Yeah, I see. You know what, though? In terms of gameplay, at this point, I think mage may be the best way to go.
Really?
Yes, really. Part of the problem is, here's part of the problem. Until you get a dedicated healer, life can be very, very fucking hard in that game. It could be brutal and punishing, and you're always at the brink of, I mean, it's not unplayably brutal or anything, but you can kind of be at the brink of, like, I'm always very near to death. I'm always very much in trouble, and I've always got everybody chugging health potions kind of thing.
Yeah.
Once you get a dedicated healer, which only happens once you've run through the mage campaign, or the mage element of the main storyline, which I recommend doing very quickly to pick up the main healer. Once you have that, life is all of a sudden very different. The very first motherfucker whatever hangs out with you is a sword and board kind of guy. So, you've got a tank straight away. You've got it, and that's the problem I had. I was like, I want to be a sword and board warrior just because, like, it looks really brutal and it seems kind of fun. But I had a lot of redundancy in the first 15 hours of the game because of the party members you have available to you. It's all so melee heavy.
I tried. I had to reboot. Had to reboot into Windows.
Yeah.
Got some headphones to plug in there.
I haven't had a chance to set my audio settings, so I'm sorry. Still setting this shit up.
But anyway, from what I've read of other people who have gone who have gone the mage route, life actually seems to be really, really easy. Because you pick, because like mages are the one thing that it's very easy to double up on.
Yeah.
Like, that's just more killing power, more healing power, more debuffing and buffing power, like, all the way around. Basically, a tank, and, like, very early on, if you play a mage, you can have a tank and three mages and roll through the whole game. That's what I see a lot of people doing. You can basically have, what's his name, Alistair, as your tank.
Yeah, I haven't even
you can be a mage. Like, old boy can be a tank, you can be a mage, Claudia Black can be your mage, and if you go do the mage tower thing, like, straight away, boom, you got a healer. Like, that's it. And then you've got a party that rocks ass, because as long as you can kind of keep your sword and board guy rolling on stuff, the mages can just fucking wipe the floor with it, with everything so quickly. Like, old, like, French girl, whatever fucking name is essentially kind of useless because she's fucking bow rogue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like some of the elements of the game where you'd naturally think like, oh, I always want this kind of person with me, don't necessarily work out all that well. And like, I always keep some kind of rogue with me to open chests and stuff, to like unlock stuff. And it's never really been worth it. And I don't like, she's so goddamn flimsy, and she seems so very strange in terms of aggro management and, like,
mm-hmm.
the, like, I mean, it's very complicated. I don't want to get too far into it, and I'm sure a lot of people out there who are playing it would not mind, like, and I would like to hear, like, how other people have been playing, what sort of party makeup.
Yeah.
But I will say that the game rewards you for playing the group, not your class. You have to play the group. Don't play your character. Just play the group. Like, some people have had a certain amount of success, like, setting up the whole gambit/tactics system, and it works just fine. I find that shit does not work for me. I do almost everything manually. I only set the most basic tasks to be automatic.
Yeah.
Like, use a potion at this percent health, set the healer to heal this at this percent thing, like, but I don't set the complicated stuff. I get no joy out of that. But I could personally see, aside from the fact that I just like my human noble better as a dude, like, I like his brutality, the sort of brutality that I've invested in him, the being the pissed offness from his origin. I like it. Other than that, I think basically the way to, like, most easily move through that game would probably be roll a mage, and just, like, stack your party with, like, a heal mage, Morrigan, whatever you want to be, like a battle mage or something, and then, like, Alistair. I've heard some people say that Alistair's, like, a bitch, and he, like, can't take hits that well, and I've noticed that he's, like, if I ever have him with me for whatever reason, like, my warrior is essentially, like, he's fucking badass. Like, he can take a lot of shit with just a little bit of healing backing him up. And Alistair apparently doesn't do that well. But anyway, the whole point is that, like, that natural instinct that I know you share as well as I do, that the mages have a hard fucking time early on, it's not necessarily true.
Okay.
It's very, very easy because of how they distribute party members to you. Very fucking easy. There's a lot of melee-centric stuff. It'd be very easy for the player character to be a mage. And I hadn't suspected it. And by the time I kind of smoked that whole thing out, it was a little late, and I was already sort of invested in my guy. You know, I've got sort of a notion to play an elf mage, which is essentially, like, the most hated, not hated, but, like, the most sneered at and generally reviled combination of things, and just be like a motherfucker to everybody.
Just one pissed off dude going through the
line. Man, just be a dick, you know, which I'm sure Morrigan will like a lot. So, but no, I'm just saying, like, you're obviously not that bound to it. I like playing the warrior.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is I like Alistair as a character. I think he's really neat. He's a little bit of a prissy sort of, you know, goody two shoes kind of guy, but he's an interesting character. And I just don't ever have him around because he's redundant as hell.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think, honestly, for what it's worth, since, again, you can it doesn't matter. You can play. It just doesn't matter. Just play the party. Play them all. Like, your dude only matters during cutscenes.
Yeah.
You know? I think I could personally probably get more enjoyment not having gone warrior, since you get one right out of the goddamn gate.
Okay.
To be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A pretty well-built one, too, so that's a suggestion to consider. Might have a more enjoyable first crack at the game, yeah, if that's the case. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't really bother me. But again, I'm not even an hour in yet. So.
Yeah, this, like I said, there was a point at which, before you basically can, like, branch off and go wherever, or I guess right at the first point where you can, I still think the game's got a little bit of fail in it because of, clearly, like, if you make this decision, right, if you go over here and do this, life is going to be super duper easy. You know, regardless of the game's overall difficulty, if you make this type of choice, life is pretty simple. If you don't make that choice and you kind of go along this path, then it's not. Like, it's going to be fundamentally different. Like, when I was in Redcliffe, the fight where I had to defend the town all night, like, I was, by the skin of my teeth, did I manage that, you know? Because that fight was just so... I didn't realize the one trick to be able to deal with it, and I didn't have a healer yet. Yeah. You know, and that's... It's like a big deal, you know? And their whole stance on, like, on respecs is really crazy. I mean, like, I got a respec mod because I got it on the PC, which presented its own problems, but I still don't agree with that decision because I can't know what's coming up ahead. Like, I didn't know I was going to get a healer. I didn't know. I mean, I suspected, but I didn't know when, and I didn't know under what circumstances or if there was a long-term guarantee or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I take Morrigan, who's the only mage I've got, and start, like, I waste a couple of her, when she leveled up a couple times, I put some, like, heal-type shit on her, right?
Yeah.
And so I'd at least have a heal spell. And then later on I get, like, a healer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, God damn it, you know? Like, so now, like, I want those two skill points back. But, oh, you can't have them back because decisions have to matter. And it's like, man, whatever. This is such an artificial, trumped-up, like, environment that don't feed me that fucking line. I don't mind. Make it expensive. Make it some quest. I don't care. Just don't do that to me. Like, I don't like that at all. I don't like that kind of option being taken away. It's,
yeah, I really don't like, in this particular kind of game where it's like, I don't expect to be able to go back and rewrite everything about a character.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it's fair to actually be able to jump back a little bit. Especially when you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
There's a group of guys to play with. Three of them are dead now. So everything that you've built your character to be based around what we gave you and then took away is now invalid. And life is now a little harder for you. All it does, in my opinion, is promote min-maxing. From the beginning. So really your best option, in my opinion, for ease of gameplay, probably gets people to disagree with this. And I mean, it's okay because I understand why. But in my opinion, for ease of gameplay, just min-max from the beginning. Kind of to the point of avoiding spoilers, just figure out what's the best route based on what you know they're going to give you and kind of go that way. So if I, knowing what I knew now, if I was going to start over, I'd just play a mage because, like, I don't... Your character's nonverbal, so I don't necessarily feel a terribly strong connection to him. You okay. know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all in the conversations. It's not like... I mean, I know Commander Shepard is Commander Shepard, but somehow my choices felt a little bit different because they were in Commander Shepard's words, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how you choose to say things, how you choose to approach a situation. But in this one, I don't think it matters, honestly. And I think that you can do yourself a lot of harm by really investing in the notion that I want to play something that I really want to play. Because I feel like I did myself a little bit of harm in that regard. So I don't know. Whatever. Just don't... Do yourself the favor of, like, looking into it a little bit.
Okay.
But don't spoil yourself. But
yeah, see, that's what I'm worried about is, you know, playing that kind of game. It's like,
yeah, no, I had a couple big shit spoiled for me, man. So you don't want to do that. But to some degree, you know, I can tell you that much. I can tell you that by the time you really got to get out there and do shit in the world, like, you've got a tank. And that you're going to get a damage-dealing mage essentially right off the bat. And if you go to the mage tower first, once you're given the option of, like, which place to go to appeal for help, if you go to the mage tower, then you'll get a healer. You know? And...
See, that's, such that's as that. About all the information I would want to get.
Yeah.
That's like, you go read stuff.
That
like,
kind
oh,
of thing, yes.
Blah, 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 goes this. Like,
yeah.
I didn't want to know that.
Yeah.
I never wanted to know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's there. Tough. It's tough. And you do have to be careful, because a couple times I got mad spoiled, like, just trying to find out some really innocuous information.
Yeah.
Like, who wants me to give them this stupid gift? Who wants this gift the most? Mm. You know, and then somebody ruins, like, an enormous part of the game for me in that list, so...
Oh, it belongs to this... Oh, my God.
This guy wants it the most, and I'm like, you cocksmoker. Damn it.
Did you read any... Have you read any of the books?
No, I haven't read a single bit about it. I decided to go...
All right, then I'm looking to play as much as you can before we do this again, because I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about things.
That's pretty much my...
Because I was, like, blood boiling pissed at a couple of people in the game after reading the books. So, yeah, like, the broad strokes, man, just, in my opinion, helps to know a little bit about that. Because it's a big-time investment, you know?
It is.
Like, you're going to go through the game a lot, and it's... There's nothing wrong with looking at it from a point of view of saying, like, what's going to be the most playable experience. Yeah.
Don't want to be 20 hours in saying, God, if I only had this ability, I'd be rolling like gangbusters.
For example, right now, there's a fight, and it's considered like kind of a big thing, and it's an optional thing, I suppose. It's certainly not time sensitive. I could go do it now if I was a mage. I know how it's done. I've like inadvertently read enough about it to know that like I've got a like, I've got enough other people. Basically, you need, like, one melee dealer and then three significant ranged damage dealers.
Yeah.
And, like, you can kind of cheat the fight in a certain way. Well, I don't have that because of what I am, and I don't have any extra people with me. So I'd actually be able to do the fight if I were a mage. And I can't. I'm going to have to wait till later and do some other stuff, you know? It just changes things a little bit. So, I don't know. I don't know. It makes me kind of feel like starting over with a mage.
Anything else?
Nah, that's about it right now.
Yeah.
As far as what I'm playing, I probably there's stuff to come out this week that I want to get and haven't been able to get it. Spirit Tracks, new Zelda game on
that's
DS.
Out. You're right.
Yep. And Shattered Memories, the new Silent Hill game.
Yep. I played a little bit of that at E3. I'm not really big into the Silent Hill like.
Oh, I'm
legend.
All over that. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's. It's not connected to the other games, but...
I thought this was, like, supposed to be, like, a rehash of the first.
It's...
Or maybe a prologue to the first or something
like that? No, it's kind of its own thing. And from what I've read in some of the reviews, they say, you know, as they could have just made a whole new story with just the basic premise of the first game, which is you have to find your daughter.
Right.
So that's about all they take from the first game, aside from the names. And then they just completely throw... everything else out the window and tell their own story.
Because they have to. It's on the Wii.
Yeah. Well, it's next month they're going to come out. It's going to be on the PS2 and PSP.
I'll be interested to see how that works.
Yeah, it's...
Because as far as I know, from what I learned at E3, there is absolutely no combat.
Yeah, it's all running. That's my understanding. You can, like, throw down flares to drive
and
away
the
critters.
And you can shoot them off if they get on you, but it's all running.
Yeah,
run,
it's
run,
all
run.
Get to safety, man, because... They're going to tear you up if you sit around and try to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Those two things. Forgot about Spirit Tracks.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. You want a breakdown?
Why don't I care about Spirit Tracks?
I don't know.
Did you play Phantom Hourglass?
Oh, man.
I played Phantom Hourglass, and that's probably why I don't care about Spirit Tracks.
I didn't play Phantom Hourglass.
I just, man, I need...
Maybe that's why I care about
Spirit. All right, I'll tell you, it's none of the design elements necessarily.
Yeah.
I just, God damn it, man, I really need my I really need my Zelda to, like, I don't know. I need another
Twilight Princess?
Or... No. Twilight Princess was a big whiff for me. I just couldn't. I saw it. I saw people playing. I'm just like, I ain't playing this shit. I ain't fucking playing this. I want this shit on a real goddamn system, please. Like, you know, I know I'm, like, pining for the fjords here or whatever, but nothing. I don't, man, and I don't care, okay? I don't fucking care about Zelda 64 at all.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. That is some lame, like, shit. I'm sorry. Nothing compares to Link to the Past. And I need some Link to the Past up in this bitch again. I need something like that.
I was about to say,
revolutionary and that substantial in my Zelda again. And everything. Like, Wind Waker's the only thing that's come close to me.
Did you play Minish Cap on the GBA?
I did. I liked it, but I don't. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't want to play on the Game Boy, man. I don't want to play it on the Game Boy. And in my opinion, Link to the Past was the last Zelda game that existed on, like, a front row, top shelf, head of the pack system. You know? And that's not necessarily what Nintendo does anymore, but I don't care. It's what I want. You know? I want it on my 360. I mean, I know that's not real. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen, but that's just trying to frame my desire a little bit. And I want something that's just so substantial from top to bottom in the way that I thought Link to the Past was. That was solid fucking gameplay. It still has to be my favorite game of all time. It just has to be. It was too good.
Yeah.
It was too well balanced. It was too perfect. I don't know. And I need it again. And everything I've seen since then, and I know that Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask got a lot of love, but she was ugly, dude. I couldn't play it. It was disgusting. I couldn't look
Link's
at it.
Link's Pass is probably the only game I've done so far where I've actually tried speed runs and completionist runs on it.
Yeah.
Man, that was some great stuff to do.
I've beaten it like 5 times. What the fuck is up with that? I don't need to do that. Why would I do that? But I've done it.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And I want it again. And everything that Zelda can be for me was wrapped up in that game. And I haven't felt that it's substantially improved. I felt that it's changed and it's been, you know, it's become cuter in a lot of ways. Yeah. And like I said, I thought that Wind Waker was really neat. I liked Wind Waker a lot. It's the closest of all of them. It's my second place. But I don't know. So just here we go again. It's another Zelda game. Okay, it's on the shit I put in my pocket. Thanks a lot. That's not where I want Zelda to be. I want Zelda on my 46-inch fucking television. I didn't buy it not to put Zelda on there. You know, I just whatever. And I'm not saying they shouldn't release this other stuff. I'm just saying, like, are you guys seriously investing in the idea of keeping Zelda away from the mainstream? Like, of all your stuff, man, that property belongs there.
You know, you see Mario titles. Metroid's gotten more play on the consoles than Zelda has.
In a good way.
Yeah.
And that's... I just want it... I want it free from gimmicks. I want it free from input gimmicks. I want it more or less free from... aimless gameplay gimmicks. I mean, I know that like the mirror world and everything in Link to the Past was a kind of a gameplay gimmick, but it was just so naturally kind of dovetailed into what was happening that I was just had full respect for it. I still do. In its own way, I still think is like beyond, like, moderately interesting from a design standpoint. It was just, God, it was fucking monstrously great shit, and I miss it terribly. So, and the pain grows with every installation of Zelda that I don't give a fuck about. And I know there are plenty of people do. I'm not saying that, like, you know, snakes on a train shouldn't exist. But, like, I don't know, man. Come on. Just give me something more, please. For the love of fucking God. Just more. Better. That's all I want. It just aggravates the shit out of me, that's all. I'm sure it's great. Somebody play it.
Alright, now it's time for...
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting
for. Alright.
Not feeling like a big enough nerd? Is your comic book knowledge below par?
Well, this doctor prescribes 1 to 2 hours of comic discussion weekly from Johnny Gigawatt and the Tiger Men from Mars.
Get your Tuesday dose from Sam Bambino and the Funk Doctor.
It's like an action movie bonanza for comic nerds. Coming to you nearly live from JohnnyGigawatt.com and the mighty planet Red Mars.
Okay, I'll start with these two since I got them right off the bat. But I do kind of regret it because, man, I love Rex. Oh, my God.
Hey, Rex was really, really good. I just didn't ever feel that he fit. I really regretted his... I really regretted his build, basically. Yeah. I wanted him to be...
I love his conversation,
he was really awesome. I loved him. But in terms of functionality...
Yeah.
It was all for me. It was always Garrus and Tally. Like,
yeah,
I liked them both. I just liked Garrus as a character. He was very he was. I'm trying to figure out what his alignment was. Lawful,
neutral. I guess
he was chaotic because he went outside the bounds of the law. He believed the law was insufficient. He was a bit like vengeful vigilante type, but still like I want to use the tools of law, but the process of law is too slow for real justice kind of things. I don't know, but I liked him. His alignment was very much the way I would have played that. I liked his character a lot, and I liked, you know, Tally because she had cool suit,
yeah,
you know, and she did all my hacking stuff for me, so I didn't play. I could not play with the two humans. I hated them. They bored the shit out of me. I don't know why. Who'd you play with?
Man, it's been a while. I don't remember.
Okay.
I must have swapped it up more than you guys did. I remember liking the...
But you played as a soldier.
I played as a soldier, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember playing as the guy. I can't remember anybody's name at this point. Or even a species named, but he was one of the cops or whatever.
Yeah,
that was probably Garrus.
That was Garrus Vakarian.
Yeah, that's right. Like you're talking one, you know, the process of law was too slow.
Yeah, that was Garrus. I liked him. He was great.
He was good. I think I played with the humans a fair bit too.
The only reason I ever played with Ashley was to be like, you know, look, bitch. We're going to go back in this room. And we're going to sleep together. And I'm going to see your ass in that little cutscene. And I'm going to take you back to my virtual rape simulator. That was the only thing I did. I even think I sent her off to die, too. No, I don't actually.
Not unlike in real life.
Yeah. I think I sent old boy off. I couldn't remember. I hated that.
I can't remember his name either.
I played with the blue...
the Asari.
God, I didn't like her at all. She was so...
I liked her.
She was so lukewarm and just so, like... I don't know, man. She wasn't, like... at least Ashley was, like, rough and tumble.
Yeah.
And, like, Tally was, like, whip quick, super sharp, like, you know, science girl. Like, the Asari, she was just, like... She's just... Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was like...
What was the other big...
That was Rex.
Kurgan.
I didn't play with him.
Oh, he was a great guy.
I liked his character.
He was fucking great.
I just didn't like him in my party very much.
I know. I really regretted his... I really regretted his class.
Yeah.
Because he was...
He was the soldier...
soldier biotics.
Yeah, soldier biotic combo.
Which didn't... It didn't ever work out enough for me. And I was like, I'll do the soldiering, thank you very much. You know, Tally, you hack stuff. And, like, Rex, you engineer stuff.
I don't remember anybody else. Who else was... I know there were other characters.
Well, there was the human guy who was the...
engineer, biotic.
Yeah, the biotic dude. There was also...
I don't think I used him very much, actually.
Yeah, I didn't either. It.
I think I mostly took, like,
what else was there? Wasn't a whole lot else.
No, because... Yeah, it was...
It was a very limited party, so, I mean...
Yeah, it was... I usually used the human girl, the cop alien guy,
yeah.
Garrus, and the Asari.
Okay. Yeah, I really didn't like her. I thought she was just...
Yeah,
she was
I got to the point where you fight the matriarch, and I was like, oh, you should bring...
Man, can I have your mom? Can your mom come hang out?
Yeah.
Your mom's cool, because I've lusted after your mom since, like, 1986.
Yeah, let's see. Troy, yeah. Damona, you know.
Yeah. I've watched enough of that show to know your mom's kind of loose.
Yeah, I was just like, no, I don't want to bring her along.
She was, dude.
Yeah.
Riker didn't care. Riker was hip, you know? He didn't mind. Some other dude with another beard shows up and is like in her quarters. She didn't give a shit. She's not like Tasha Yar loose. Whatever, that chick fucked robots, man. Just saying. Whatever.
Oh, man.
Speaking of which...
Oh, you gonna go there? Transformers?
No. God, no. No. Because I wasn't speaking of which. There was, like, other things we've already spoke of that had things connected to them. That nobody. We'll get to Transformers next week.
Oh fuck you! Next week, my ass.
Do you? All right. Seriously. What the fuck? Yes, Dead Space 2 was inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
But what a bullshit, lame ass, like limp dick, sideways type of announcement they made. Like it was the most horrible. The most. Unjustifiable game announce. I know that it was from an investor conference call or something like that, but it was absolutely 100% in marketing speak. And gave no real indication that these people knew anything about the game. Even though it included a quote from the lead producer, like, it was really terrible. Like I really regret that game's announcement.
See, I just heard about it. I never
just because of how it was done. It was like you know, the virus is spreading through space, and like you know, awesome guy Isaac is now he's not done kicking ass in space and dealing with this problem and blah blah blah. Like all this other stuff. Like,
and he's got new weapons.
Yeah, and he's like, he's got all these, like, all of his signature ability to do this blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, man, look, dude, Isaac wanted two fucking things the whole game. Isaac wanted to fix that fucking ship and leave with his girlfriend. That's all he wanted to do. We've talked plenty of times about motivation in the way that video games work. And I really regret that you haven't played this yet. His entire fucking motivation was to find old girl. Yeah. Once he realized... things, his entire motivation was to get off the fucking rock.
Yeah. Like, the reason we're still in spoiler
is because Jeremy hasn't played it yet.
Yeah. And Dave is in the middle of
playing. Is in the middle of it.
That's how it came about. During the break, which probably lasted like 30 seconds for you, but longer for us, Dave mentioned that, oh, I thought of other games I've been playing. He popped out Dead Space, and it was like instant sidetrack.
It's amazing. Like, even going back to people's discussions about it, there are a lot of people who are just like, meh. The game, and I'm like, man, fuck that. That game was badass. That game was really badass. The problem was, so much of the announcement was, it didn't even really give lip service to what I thought the game was actually about. And, like, you don't just kind of say the continuing adventures of Isaac, space guy, you know, virus-stomping, de-limbing badass of the universe after that game. I mean, it's fine. I don't want to indicate that it can't continue, but I'm just saying, like, the ending was of a very particular flavor, and it's like, nah, what the fuck game are you talking about? And they talked like, you know, like, well, you know, Isaac's whole approach to dealing with bad guys is to dismember him, like it's a fucking style.
It's
like, dude, he's not a military guy. He's an engineer. He was using the tools at hand. He only ever actually got, like, two weapons in the course of the game.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, hey. Yeah, we got interrupted again, or whatever.
Exactly. What the fuck were you even saying?
Man.
I know, this is why it's we got interrupted for real. That's why I was, you know. I wanted him to hold that thought, and apparently, whatever it was, I don't know.
We're talking about Isaac and...
Yeah, my point is, like, their whole thing was... They just didn't seem to... They weren't even giving any sort of acknowledgement to what the game actually was, which was this guy is... I always figured Isaac to be, like, Corps of Engineers in the military kind of thing, like ex-military, because he is a functional badass, but he is not necessarily paid to be a badass. So his zombie stomping ability and, like, his general sort of heads-up kind of understanding of terrible situations, his, you know, Isaac, go here, do this. Well, okay. You know, like, his ability to take orders and get shit done, to me, felt very ex-military. He felt very capable. And now he's just, like, you know, a top-shelf, first-tier engineer. So that's cool. But it means he's of a very specific kind of thing. He doesn't just walk around with plasma cutters, you know, all the time. That's not just his thing. He was in an extraordinary circumstance. So just the flavor of their announcement was sort of like generic. This is going to be crazy generic zombie adventure game kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, God.
Which that really wasn't what it was. It was surviving this.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It's just
people talking about it who don't understand them video games.
Yeah, but no. Like, but it isn't.
Other than, like, they make us a lot of money. You know,
but the problem is that some of these quotes came from the game's producer.
Yeah, well.
Who damn well better understand
video games.
Then
maybe he understands who he's talking to.
No, that's what I'm saying. I know that's probably the thing. It's just, and I'm not saying that that means the game's going to be bad. What I'm saying is it makes for an unbelievably spongy and unlikable game announcement, you know? So it just, and it doesn't necessarily do anything for the legions of people who never got around to playing the motherfucker. Like, doesn't make it look any more interesting. And I've always felt that the game was painfully underrepresented on the whole. Like, it was just such solid gameplay, you know, that I really like more people to kind of perceive it, like it or not. Just that it was good stuff, and I really enjoyed it. Some of it was, you know, weird. Oh, the cult, space cult thing was kind of tenuous.
Yeah, Unitology or whatever it was.
Whatever. Isaac didn't give a shit, so... Hey, but whatever. That's there. It's going to be out. Like, we didn't fucking know. And that's, I don't know. That's pretty good. Thank God we now have celebrity voice talent in Mass Effect 2. I was pretty much on the edge. I was like, you know, if January 26 gets here and I don't have some overpaid motherfucker of a screen actor to voice my random generic whatever characters, I'm not sure I'm throwing down the $60.
Oh, Lord.
But thank God we have screen actors now involved in this, because that's what the game really needed. That's exactly where you derive your momentum from. People who are paid too much money for not doing enough good shit, when meanwhile merely excellent voice acting cannot be expected to carry the day. Thank fucking God.
So who's the...
I don't give a shit.
Because I haven't heard this.
I don't know.
Well, this is wonderful.
I'm being a fuckhead. But, like, I don't know what.
Nicholas Cage.
No, fuck you. He's not in. Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen. Boy, you want to give a shot at
nope,
that other?
Fuck you. I mean, we already had Seth Green. I already thought that was plenty.
Dave knows who she is.
I thought Seth Green was fine.
The chick from 24.
Yeah.
What's the name?
That chick. Okay, she's also, I think she's in House of Sand and Fog, too. With Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, I wish I could. I wish, like, there was something more popular she was in that I could tell you.
There's only two of them here that I'm actually okay with.
Adam Baldwin,
Adam Baldwin, you bet your ass.
Keith David. Michael Dorn, I like Keith David.
The babe from Chuck is in this.
And Michael Dorn,
No, okay. Keith David.
Keith David.
No, Keith David doesn't.
Keith David doesn't count as the stuff that I was pissed off.
Oh, okay.
I was
going to
say, Keith David doesn't really...
He's in that new list, but he doesn't count as the sort of shit I'm pissed off about. And, like...
Heard him on the Navy commercials.
I'm pretty sure that, as a species, we're pretty much obligated to include Michael Dorn.
Yeah.
In places where aliens need to be voiced. So, like, Michael Dorn's fine. But, like... I have a huge problem with Trisha. Like, I liked Trisha Helfer in the thing she did, but I'm not, like, she's not an especially capable voice actor. She just doesn't develop to that skill. I thought that she was like she was a real weak spot in ODST.
Yeah.
And she's exactly like her Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah, what's going
on? I don't know. But some of these people are, like, being included because of their name. And I'm making a big deal out of nothing. I know that. I know that these are not your main characters or anything. And in the case of Keith David, I might regret that. Although, he's playing...
No, he's
David
Anderson.
Yeah,
he's...
Okay. Again, he doesn't belong on this list.
Yeah, he didn't count.
Well, I mean, he's fucking Goliath.
Yeah, But... I know that I'm making a bigger deal of it. I just don't like the fact that it's like its whole thing. It's like, well, we got celebrities now.
Carrie Ann Moss, who was last
aren't you
in the
glad
Matrix.
That Martin Sheen, you know, floated down from whatever cloud he lives on to, like, validate your
as what does it say
your particular
here?
Thing?
The elusive man. Wow, what a whatever.
Yeah. Not elusive enough.
Paid him a shit ton of money. You'd probably say. You know, a couple of
it's,
worth of
I mean, it is yeah. fine. I'm blown out of proportion because that's sort of my shtick. But I just, it does piss me off. It's like, man, just get the fuck out of here. Just get the
fuck. I don't necessarily know it's your shtick. I think it makes perfect sense.
I just don't, I don't like it. Like,
no, I agree.
And I know we bring it up all the time, but god damn it, like, there are plenty of people out there that are far better at what voice acting really is.
Yeah.
Like, give them some fucking work, you know? And I'm just saying, I'm just doing that, so. That's said. It doesn't matter because I'm gonna spend $120 fucking dollars on this game anyway. You know you.
Here we are.
Yeah,
you're getting both versions.
The PC and the 360.
Yeah.
The Countess of Fishbang really loved her some Mass Effect 1.
Oh boy,
she loved it, and she.
Will she be able to figure out the weapons this time? Wasn't that the big problem with the
That was a huge problem with the first one. I can't tell her stuff because she rages against
She still
me.
Got through it, though, so it's like it's not
it's
necessary.
Fine. She really loved her some Mass Effect. And
now she's going to love it on 46 inches?
Yep.
That's a lot of inches.
Come on. Nobody's going to, like, toss a porn joke out there?
No,
Jesus.
No.
Come on. Jesus.
I was just thinking, man, that's going to be a great show title.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah, A, for purposes of both of us being able to play it, and B, for the fact that I just want to play it on my PC, mm-hmm. which I could not do the first time around, and now it's day and date with the console version. So, you know, and it doesn't... An obvious thing would be, like, well, just game fly it, but... And have you fucking seen January?
Oh my god.
I can't afford to blow one of my Gamefly slots for January, I mean for the end of January and essentially all of February.
I'll say it's Mass Effect
for
2,
that game.
BioShock 2, is that coming out then?
Yeah, well, it's actually February that's a motherfucker.
Okay.
But basically the point is that it's so dense that I can't leave one Gamefly slot dedicated to just that one game, so I'm gonna fucking pick it up on both. I'm buying two copies of it, which, whatever. Paying Martin Sheen twice, apparently. I don't know. Fuck it. Nah, it's fine. That's fine. And we got a. Do we have, like, for reals a date on AVP in the States? Or are we still waiting for all that stuff to shake down?
That was Europe, I think, or something.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah.
But it's like, basically, aren't we sort of...
Normally, that...
Projecting that we're getting the same shit in the States?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, thank God, again, it's coming at a time when basically nothing else is happening. February 19th, I believe, is a really empty time next year. Great place to put your fucking game.
No, there's anything assholes. Coming out,
then. Hey, there ain't really anything happening.
I did see
shitbags. Thanks for. I mean, not that I'm not going to get it. Like,
yeah,
or at least give it some time. But God, effing, damn it!
Darksiders.
February's a
bitch!
Darksiders at the beginning of January, January 5th. Bayonetta, the same date.
Yep.
Army of Two, the 40th day, about a week later.
Uh-huh.
Then a week after that, Dark Void.
Uh-huh.
And then a week after that, Mass Effect 2. And then a week after that, Lost Planet 2. And then a week after that, Bioshock 2. See where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Keep going. Keep going. We haven't actually read the list in a while.
I'm still going. The same day as Bioshock 2, you get Dante's Inferno. A week after that, Alien vs. Predator. A week after that, Splinter Cell Conviction.
It's the list that never ends.
This is a big motherfucker. And it doesn't get, like, small or anything.
A week after that, Bad Company 2.
Yeah, man.
A week after that, Final Fantasy 13.
Uh-huh. And then right around that time is also God of War 3.
You're right, yes. I'm not looking at multi-consoles. I was just hitting up 360 here, and that's, you know, God of War 3 is in there.
Dude, that's a nasty-ass 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, January is maybe a little soft. I don't know how you care about Darksiders. Maybe you're not a Bayonetta person. You can totally walk past that. But I'm not, and I'm still going to take a look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to take a look at it, too. But, yeah, you're right.
February, March? Fuck me, dude. That's a lot of shit. Like, that is a lot of shit. I would absolutely put that up against any previous year's holiday season in terms of, like, you know, that's a lot of shit.
I will say, because this month is...
This month's dead.
Yeah, nothing.
Except for,
aside,
like,
from the few we mentioned, you know, before.
Which last year this time was the same thing. This month last year was Prince of Persia. That's all you
had. But it was done.
Yeah.
It was done. This is merely like a respite.
Because all you were looking forward to after that was like Res 5. Well, I think Street Fighter came out in January.
No, we had like Street Fighter, we had Killzone.
Yeah.
Res was not until
March.
Yeah, March. Yeah, it was like something else in there too. I can't remember what. But nothing like Man on Linux.
No.
Or even like the most boring shit would at any other year be sort of the highlight of a month.
Yeah.
You know?
There's been a lot of talk about it, but by the way, the same date as Lost Planet 2 and Bioshock 2, Tropico 3. And there's fans out there.
Tropico.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Something we do get this month. Something we actually do get this month that I care about, at least. So we've already made mention of other stuff that I don't care about. But, I don't know what's called. Alien Breed.
Yeah.
Yes, Alien Breed Evolution. You see that shit?
Why is that ringing a bell to me?
You see that shit?
I guess
looks pretty tasty.
Maybe I have, and I've just forgotten what
it's the Xbox Live release from, I'm guessing, for next week. And it's the rebirth of an old Amiga game. And you look at the videos or the screenshots, and it will fucking scream Shadow Complex to you. Because it's another one of these downloadable Unreal Tech games. It's sort of a isometric point of view, dual stick, run and attack kind of thing. Two-player co-op.
Nice.
Yeah, you'd like that. That shit looks sexy, dude. That looks like... I think I've got like 900 and some odd points that are wanting to rot on my account right now, so it's exactly where I plan to spend them. Hopefully somebody else will, so we can kill some aliens and Don't Afraid of Anything together.
I'll say, speaking of downloadables, I know something that's going to make you happy is
Mega Man 10.
Yeah, what do you think about that shit? I didn't get a chance. I totally forgot to ask you about that.
I'm excited. I loved 9.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to, like, swear a lot and throw controllers again. Absolutely. You know, I went ahead and told Becky so she can be prepared. You know? Yeah. It would be lots of, like, giggling and smiling and then a lot of swearing and screaming.
Motherfucker!
A lot of fun will be had by me. I mean, it's 10. I know that, like, you know, when we had stalled at 8 for years and years and years, there were, like, Mega Man fans had these grand dreams of 9 or 10 being, like, a game to bridge, like, Mega Man series with the X series. That ain't shit, ain't ever gonna happen, but whatever. I just get to play more Mega Man games, it's fine. Good. Hope they put the slide back in.
Yeah.
Apparently you're gonna be able to play as Proto Man from the beginning. He was a downloadable before, and he could slide. So, and there's going to be a third playable character, but they haven't announced who or what that is yet.
I would like seeing a 8-bit bass or
on there. That'd be kind of cool, yeah.
Or Forte for those of you who are in the import scene.
Yeah. And then, of course, the other thing, like, announced and I'm real excited about is that Transformers game.
Which we'll talk about next week.
No. You gave him a door, man. He's walking nope.
Right now.
That was the spelled Transformers game?
All right, so like...
You'll find out next week.
There's an exclusive... exclusive in the next Game Informer. About an Activision Transformers game. It's not based on any current copyright.
No existing property.
Right.
And oh, thank God.
So, in particular, yeah. It's not based on a movie.
Yeah.
Which is why you said, oh, thank God.
Yes.
That's what you're thinking.
It's not a Bayformers game.
Yeah. The designs are, you know, stylized, much like, you know, older shit. You know, non-Bayformers. Basically, anything that's not Bayformers.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'll take it.
And from what I've gleaned of it, it looks like a pre-Arrival on Earth game, like Cybertron.
Really? So
shit.
Yeah. All the existing artwork points entirely in that direction.
Ooh, I would love to play through the Cybertron Wars.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, like that's
anything
that appears
like
to be the angle. I mean, I had to get Jeremy to sort of like lay out some of that shit for me, since I never had like a broad exposure to that universe and everything, but.
My big worry is always my worry when you know somebody makes a Transformers game, and that's how do you incorporate the transforming? And we talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of ran. It's kind of interesting. My personal opinion is I don't think you bother.
Yeah.
I mean, and
that was the same direction I came from it on, because anytime you just you know give the player the ability to turn into some I don't know truck or plane or some shit at any time, like it's. It confuses the gameplay too much.
Yeah.
It needs to be focused. Like, I could see, like...
A stage where you're, like, in robot mode.
A stage where you need to, like, transform and race to this point or away from this thing. It becomes, like, a driving thing for a minute or whatever. But if it's... And they're talking about, like, kind of a Gears of War kind of feel. Like, you know... They're fucking soldiers. So, yeah. It makes sense. But to just transform into a vehicle in the middle of that, it's...
If the game design has to allow for it, then stage layout, your actual space, your orientation in space is going to change significantly. And my first thought is, like, think back to the fucking movie, the real movie.
Yeah.
Like, how, like,
that is honest, the only movie.
Yeah, exactly. Honest to God, like, how many times were they in vehicle mode? A couple times during the whole fucking film?
Yeah.
Like we count, like, how many times is Hot Rod a fucking car? Like,
just three
fucking times, and two of them are bullshit.
In the beginning,
and every time it was like a
Unicron in the middle, like swirling around the.
Yeah, and the only time that was like really like kind of made a lot of sense was like the first time, you know, when he and Daniel were like boogieing along to like, you know, Dare or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, and it's fine, but like the rest of the time, like their entire identity and their entire thing is all about like their being in robot mode. Like it's not. It's neither unprecedented nor foolish to simply lock them into robot mode and do the fucking robot shit the whole time. Like, find interesting places for them to do their vehicle thing. I can sort of see the idea that, like, I'm playing a Transformer and I can't transform at will. That's weird. But, you know...
If it gets in the way of the gameplay, man, then...
But, like, we were also talking about, if this is not set at a point in time when disguise is of any use to them.
Right.
If we're simply looking at...
This is like in the middle of...
Battle mode versus...
Yeah.
Robot mode, then that becomes possibly a different function of the gameplay. We're theoretically looking at something that could, like, fucking take off and be really, really good. Because it's not servicing an existing property.
Here, so, hope they make the most of it.
Yeah. I, for one, am glad that I'm not so heavily invested in the Transformers universe so that I will not... You know, so that I personally won't want to eat a bullet when they fail.
Yeah. And but, this is the same sort of excitement I had when I heard the early designs on the movie. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, I'm
don't fuck it up.
The simple fact that they're taking a crack at it from an independent kind of angle. And all of the, again, all of the art, if it's reminiscent of anything, it's reminiscent of old design. Like, you could look at, say, Megatron and say that this is maybe... He's very angular, like, kind of sort of like a collection of angry shards, like he was in the film, in terms of his body. Much more simplified, a little more broadly, simply drawn, but like his head and his face and everything that makes him who he is, like that shit's fucking
and
like.
He's got his arm cannon.
That shit's.
That's great.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like very, very simple, like design hooks, you know, like fucking Prime, dude. I'm looking at that Prime's face and that's fucking Optimus Prime. That's the dude that I grew up with. And I expect that to be the norm. Like some alterations to serve possibly, you know, the pre-Gen 1 storyline and this unique circumstance, but, like, they're not putting out a call to modern 10-year-olds who only know Optimus Prime from this bullshit. Like, they're talking to us, basically. Yeah. So I can... Part of me, a very guarded part, is willing to get kind of excited about it, but at this point it's... you know, some shit that's been scooped off of GI, so I don't know yet. But
and that could all change within, you know, a couple of months.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we'll obviously know more as soon as that issue shows the fuck up for real. Yeah. So, but and it's a thing. It's a good thing.
You know, it's a development studio that hasn't really done anything noteworthy in the past.
They did Bourne, right? Isn't that what we found? They did Bourne. Just not... But great,
I can't help but keep thinking of Arkham Asylum.
You know, where
they hadn't really done anything noteworthy in the past. So, like, I get all these pie-in-the-sky dreams of, like, hey, maybe they'll, you know, get Simon Furman as a creative consultant. Maybe they'll, you know, get as much of the voice cast back as they can. Maybe not.
Who's producing it, though?
It can be good without any of those things.
Who's producing it?
Should still be Activision, right?
Yeah, it's Activision.
Because Activision owns the rights.
Kind of the...
Yeah.
Thing that makes
that's,
it go,
that's sort
man.
Of the, you know.
Really want to be good, but there's...
That's the ball and chain on this project.
Well, so. I'll help you a little bit with that. When Activision released Spider-Man 3, mm-hmm. based on the film, it was complete shit. And then they went off and developed Web of Shadows, which is very decent.
It's complete not shit.
It's complete not shit. I just love it. I picked it up... I had that thing rented for a long-ass time and didn't want to give it back. And I had it from Blockbuster, so I couldn't actually do the buyout since I had it. But it recently went on sale for this Black Friday thing, and I picked it up.
Yeah, I need to get that.
It's a lot of fun. It really, really is. And based more on the fact that they didn't have to follow a fucking movie to do it.
They just did their own thing.
Exactly. So, here's hoping. I wish you all the best.
Thanks. I'm going to need it.
NPD numbers came out today. Obviously, Call of Duty, you know, being what it was. What I was more interested in, though, was, like, Tony Hawk's numbers for his little game.
Yeah.
114,000. That's it.
Yep, that one.
That's all that
Yeah, he
on
took
the
he took a, he took a nice he, hit to the ego on that.
Yeah.
And he had to start, like, letting his ego drive his mouth all over the place. Like... It's a conspiracy that was in place before the game ever launched for people to
course,
hate my game.
You know, couldn't possibly be that it was a...
That it was a piece of shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
No, it wasn't a bad idea. No, of course not.
Who is this?
Tony Hawk.
Oh.
And who is he?
That's great. All right.
Yeah.
An old man who is... trying to get into the wrong business.
They were ready to discredit it before they even tried it. And if they didn't play exactly how they imagined it, they passed it off. I don't agree with people who say the board's not responsive. I think they're just not giving it a fair shake. I think a lot of them came
into
it with the attitude
that
it's going
to suck. What's the problem
with
a fucking board? If it doesn't play like people imagine it to play, then it is shit. If you have to learn how to make the board work the way the game wants it to work, then...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's supposed to be an analog to the real...
Yeah,
real
and I'm not saying it's the same thing, but I like... Dude, I fucking went to the arcade and played Top Skater.
Yeah.
And that shit was fun. Like, because that shit worked.
That worked exactly how you would expect it to.
So, fuck your board.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's actually a good piece of technology, but more like fuck your game. Like, I'm sorry, it's just not good. Too many people say it's not good, and it's too goddamn expensive, so fuck off. Like, you don't belong here. Goodbye. But, whatever. I think that sort of... I don't know, there's something very nail in the coffin about Tony Hawk ride.
Clearly people have it out for motion control and real world analog gimmicks.
Nobody wants
shit never sells.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. That shit almost never gets reviewed well, and it still sells. Mm-hmm. So, like, fine. You want to ignore the reviewers, just look at your sales numbers. Yeah. And those are saying that those are basically telling the same story. So,
I really never thought, way back when, I never thought anybody would dethrone the Tony Hawk skating games. Mm-hmm. It was just like, he's cornered the market, he's got it. And Skate came out with a yay.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, hey, little competition, that's nice. And then Tony Hawk didn't do a damn thing. And they were like, here's our game, Skate, and we're going to make a sequel. And in the meantime, nothing. Because they were working on this fucking board and this game that has completely failed. It's completely let Skate 2 take the place of what it used to be.
Yeah.
So that everybody thinks, I don't really want to go back to your world. I've got this over here, and it's doing me fine. Plus, there's a third one coming out, and, whatever. So I think he let his grip on the market just slide the fuck off to try and be... I don't want to say innovative. I think to follow the trend of what someone like him possibly thought was the next
thing. I think he misidentified the trend.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have.
I think they look at the Wii and they're like, okay, our game needs motion control.
Mm-hmm.
Or look at, Guitar Hero and Rock Band. And they're like, hey, specialized controllers are awesome. People love them.
Mm-hmm.
They like them if they're fun, let them like.
And even then, only up to a point.
Better. Yeah.
So, whatever.
Maybe the Guitar Hero shit. Like, I've been trying to work out the whole angle on the No Doubt and Activision.
Oh yeah, that's funny. That's funny.
Like, I've been thinking about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, Courtney Love sues him because the Kurt Cobain singing other stuff. And you're like, whatever. You were cracked out at the time and didn't reach a contract. I have no sympathy for you. And then No Doubt sues. And you're like, well, you're more sober than Courtney Love because by process of elimination, everybody is more sober than Courtney Love.
Right. Also, there's four of you.
Yes. So, yeah. So I start to wonder if maybe Activision is just, kind of hiding the fact that they're going to be singing... all these other songs. I know they won't be happy with it. In which case, whatever. You signed something and didn't understand it. I don't really feel bad for you. But then I started thinking about it from the point of view of Activision. Why would you do that? Why would you keep pissing off the artists that you need to put music in your games? I mean, of course, I know Bobby Kotick's over here saying, well, I think they should pay us to put their music in.
Yeah.
But that's just not the reality of the situation. And maybe they're so big and arrogant that they don't think it matters. And maybe it doesn't. But they do have competition. There's Harmonix and Rock Band. They have competition in that space. And if they get to be known as like the friendly to artist music game, then it doesn't seem hard to figure out where all the music goes at that point. Then again, maybe Activision thinks this shit has peaked and they want to squeeze as much out of it as they can before it... collapses.
I think Activision knows how to look at numbers if they know how to do anything, and they know that this kind of game has seen nothing but declining sales in the last 12-month period, so I don't know. I think that it's probably more complicated than that, because it isn't just about relationships with artists. It's about relationships with publishers of music, and those people dealing with publishers of video games, and there's a lot of legal that happens in there. Like, Bobby Kotick and, like, Gwen Stefani didn't sit down and like talk about that's not what happened. I know it's much more complicated than that. Also, I don't know whose side to be on in this because I fucking hate both of them. I wish it were possible for them to annihilate
Whoever
one another.
Loses, we win.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I don't know. I still find it hard that they could like do this in a truly surreptitious manner, and also like. Fuck you. I want to see your avatar singing a Dixie Chick song. Because so clearly what Activision has done provides more entertainment for me. So by default, they have to be in the right here. So, I don't know. Whatever. Bobby Kotick, No Doubt. They've all got stupid hair. So, I don't fucking know. I don't care. I just think it's kind of impenetrable, like, to actually figure out what's happening. I think you have to assume intent. Mm-hmm. at some level, or assume negligence or incompetence on another. I don't know. I mean, clearly it's lawyers, so. Yeah, I've no
idea. Whoever
loses,
the lawyers win.
Yeah.
Almost always the case, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Almost? What the fuck are you talking almost, man? What you got?
I got tweets.
Yeah, you do. Get them.
Let's hear some Twitter pages.
Get them tweets.
SPB Tool says, where's this week's episode? I'm jonesing over here. I'm hungry and haven't had my morning coffee yet. Maybe that's what it is. Well, we gave you your week's episode, your 4 hours worth that you guys seem to eat up. And
man, yeah. You guys need to slow down. You're getting indigestion as fast as you consume this shit. Oh, my God.
That shit, yeah. That shit.
It's like super post.
Like, we posted a four-hour episode.
And I swear to God, like, 3 hours later, people were finished.
Like, oh, God, that was great.
Then again, some of them may have stopped at the Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Out 2 hours right there.
I think
there.
That's actually true. Listen to our shit, like, sped up and tone corrected, pitch corrected.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, that's cool though. That's actually perfectly fine. That one was very content rich, you know, because we had a lot to work with there. Obviously, for the course of December, we're going to be sort of operating on what flows to us from the world of news and things like that.
Well, Dark Lord James presents a good thing that we could do with our December. You know what I could go for? More iPhone games chat on in-game chat. Half the crew has one, don't they?
Yeah.
At times, half the crew has it.
I was actually gonna bring that up because he had tweeted some question about wanting.
Yeah, already.
I have tried a few things, and like, put simply, I'm in a place where the only thing I ever tend to enjoy is like the casual style stuff.
Right.
Because, fucking Christ, dude, when like. You know, the bottom left and right quarters of my fucking screen are dedicated to
your HUD, your
my controls, my inputs, analog inputs. I'm like, God, Jesus Christ, I'm already not operating with a lot of space here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man.
Well, there was already the announcement this week of a Voltron game on the iPhone, which looked really cool. I watched the trailer for the Mirror's Edge version on the iPhone,
which. You know,
I'm curious.
Looked a little. You know what it looked like? It looked like you just like tell her to run, and then you choose like to jump. Kind of very automatic,
like a quick time event. Like press here as soon as this comes up.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, but I'm interested in it. I'm still interested.
I know, that's fine.
And it's more so than I guess I have been with some of the iPhone games. But I don't know. I'll look into that. It's tough because I'm with James on this in the same way that. I play those convenient games on the iPhone. Those that are just, you know, I got Prism on the iPhone, and I got a version of Tetris. You know, it's just very, very casual.
I got a lot of little puzzle games.
Get Rolando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna try some of these.
Because it looks
out.
Fun. If I can't play it, then I need one of you to play it.
Hey, that never fucking worked before I had one. I fucking told him to do that shit all the time. He wouldn't do
it. It's a little casual, like. Roll shit around and get to the end kind of thing, but like with different whatever. Just
I'm going to use an easy out and say yes, but one of our listeners wants it now, so I'm going to do it. For
okay,
now.
Yeah. Right on. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I haven't. I don't know. There's so much free shit that I have a tendency to be like, I should buy this thing. It looks good and it's cheap. But there's these 8 other free things that I could get that are crap, but they're free. You know.
Let's see. Dark Lord James also comes back and chimes in. 4 hours? Yes, 4 hours. And you probably got done with it very quickly, didn't you? Probably wasn't that hard for you, was it? I don't know. Maybe you're still on it. You haven't responded since, so maybe you're still listening to the show. Iron Pass says, we had a lot of questions with Iron Pass last week. He was sending his tweets, and we weren't actually sure what he was referring to.
Uh-huh.
He said he was referencing Microsoft being unable to integrate the BBC player and then hanging up on MMO deals like Final Fantasy XIV or the Halo MMO. Mm-hmm. In response to what he said, MS seems to be missing out on a lot of stuff because of their unwillingness to budge on pay-for services.
Yeah, no, I can understand that now.
Okay.
So that was
the FF14 thing being cited, like, its absence on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
the reason being cited that, like, well, we've got a lot of hang-ups about gold subscriptions on top of this other thing. So, makes perfect sense now. I just couldn't contextualize it.
He also asked us a question about GameStop putting their name on box art.
Yeah, so what was with that?
Well, he sent us a link to it. They seem to be doing it with big releases that have exclusive stuff like Batman Arkham Asylum. What it is, and I'll show you guys a picture, but I have to explain it. On the Assassin's Creed 2 box art, at the very bottom, it says GameStop exclusive, bonus endgame map inside.
Aha, okay.
And that is print. It's not... It's not a sticker.
Yeah, I see what... Yeah.
That's nasty looking. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's actually printed.
Well, that should...
Printed on the insert?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I was really curious what he was talking about, but now that he said it, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I think I've seen that on other games too. Whenever they put that stuff in there. So, I don't know, now that we know, what do you feel about it? Obviously, that's ugly.
I didn't like it before. When it was purely theoretical.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like it anymore now that it's real.
Yep.
So, that's where we stand on that. Count Elmdor says, I'm loving it. That's all he said.
That's good.
But we're glad you are loving it. Iron Past comes back.
Do, 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 do.
Says, I was going to say you never got back to my email, but you seem to hit most of the points anyway. I remembered that as we were wrapping up the conversation for Assassin's Creed 2 last week. He had sent us an email dealing a lot with Assassin's Creed 2, and I said we'll hit this during our discussion. And we pretty much did. I didn't even have to reference back. We covered that so in-depth and just blanket.
Man, you're making me hate that I wasn't here last week.
I know. I wish you had been.
I know. I don't know what I should say about that game, but you know, there's no point now.
Well, we'll have to... You know, we'll do it in our own time.
And Mr. GT Chris says, funny leak posted at COG by Axion, and it was the Modern Warfare 2 InfinityWar.net problems getting ISP banning.
Yeah, I still haven't 100% understood that. I mean, I read the complaints, and I sort of understood.
Something's going on between the communication...
Yeah. ISPs just aren't liking the kind of activity they're seeing coming off of some of their users. And it's apparently...
people are getting banned because...
Related to... Well, people get, like, their service interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Because playing that game on a peer-to-peer network, occasionally you will operate as the server. And so if your ISP has strict rules against this, they'll see you basically operating a server. And they won't like this, and they'll give you shit about it, when that's not really what you intended to do. So it's a thing. It's certainly not widespread. Or it's not a dominant problem, I don't think. But, you know, whatever. They don't care. They sold a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And that was all of our tweets.
Did you see, by the way, I just kind of want to track back because I don't want to get lost. I don't want to lose the thought again. You were talking about MPD numbers came out.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's kind of releasing their year-end lists of everything. Did you see the Metacritic list?
I didn't see the list, but I saw the post.
That Metacritic, like, everybody's sort of compiling their top 10 lists or top 5 lists or 20 lists or whatever now that we're at the end of the year / decade. And I thought the Metacritic list was especially interesting because it's simply just a compilation of data that exists already. And yeah, however much credence you want to Metacritic stuff. It's just sort of a sampling. But it was interesting to see like their top 20 rated games of the last year. Two of which were Modern Warfare 2, one on each console, which I don't think is... I don't really like that. The thing that I thought was most interesting, though, is that the system with the highest average Metacritic score was PS3.
Really?
Yep. The PC was number 2.
Wow.
And then I believe the 360 was 3rd. But I thought that was really interesting. I mean, obviously, like, Uncharted 2 is really going to sort of, like, possibly blow the curve.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's really no, I guess, no reason overall to think that it would be any worse. It's just, and it's a useless data point, but I just think it's like, I've always thought that if you have, you know, Microsoft exclusives in one hand and PS3 exclusives in the other, in terms of pure creative value, I've thought that the better stuff was always happening on the PS3 anyway, regardless of what was happening with the system, you know, in general. I'll take a load of, you know, for whatever it may be worth, Little Big Planets, Killzone 2, Infamous, and Uncharted. You know, like, I'll take that stuff all goddamn day long.
Yeah. Damn, look at Jesus.
I thought that was interesting. Like, yeah.
The Wii is last place.
Yeah. It was just something that I guess I didn't necessarily expect.
Had 10 games. PlayStation 3 had 10 games in 2009 that were in the great.
Yeah.
That's.
And I suppose it's only valid, and I may be making this up in my own head, but I suppose it's mostly valid because I remember a time when I believe Microsoft kind of crowed about the fact that they had, like, generally higher reviews on all of their stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that across the board, Microsoft games were, Xbox games were getting better reviews.
Now, this is really interesting. Best reviewed games, any platform, 2009. PS3 had a shit ton in there, Uncharted 2 being the top right there. Modern Warfare 2 under it, but the PS3 version. However, at number 6, the PS3 version of Braid.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
You know, year old since the 360, but because it was released and because of the reviews it got, it still made it number 6. A 93 is what it got. And helped, I guess, further that... further the PS3 to be a number one. That's interesting stuff.
Again, for what it's worth, I still think, looking at their top 20, I still think that, like, I personally think that Infamous belongs on that list. But it didn't make it.
Oh,
it had, like, a mid-80s Metacritic thing. And I still make a lot of accusations about that, where people just, I don't know. You know, it wasn't extreme enough for a lot of people at that time. And it was one of those games, it was a litmus test game that a lot of reviewers, they were trying to anticipate people's reactions with their review, so they dogged it a little bit too hard, thinking that, you know, they want a lot of people to agree with them, but it wasn't actually a very fair shake for the game, when in reality the game was immensely fun. And it's one of only, like, I mean, not that I... You know, I personally don't put any stock in the dude's shit, but, like, it's one of, like, what, 4-5 games that Yahtzee has not, like, you know, come along and, like, killed it and then raped its dead corpse and left it sitting on the side of the road. Like, you know, he had all this shit to say about it, but in the end was like, whatever, it's a fucking great, fun game. You know, like, it's good stuff. I think a lot of the negativity around it was bullshit. But whatever, right? Honestly, I think it's my personal game of the year, but that's just me. I was a little aggravated the one in the top 20.
All right, time for emails?
Yep.
All right, just as we got, I think just as we got home from doing last week's show, from recording last week's show, Spigot wrote into us and said, "Hey guys, just finished listening to the deer melting episode, and James was ranting and raving about wishing for a game that gave you actual consequences and different experiences if you made certain decisions. If only my screens of Heavy Rain, you're talking about Heavy Rain, dummy! That's a game that is supposed to be relatively short in terms of each playthrough, but with a myriad of branching paths and completely different storylines that take wall-off large portions, maybe well-off large portions, of the game, depending on what you decide to do. Well, I'm off to see what the deal is with these stupid werewolves in the stupid forest, stupid elves. By the way, thanks to James for convincing me to go out and buy the Dragon Age books. The Stolen Throne isn't half bad."
No, it was not, actually.
I'm guessing stupid werewolves in the stupid forest, stupid elves is Dragon
yeah,
Age stuff?
Yeah. Okay. That's actually where I am right now. Here's the thing, like, Heavy Rain is, like, entire... That shit's nothing but potentiality right now. Mm-hmm. That's nothing but previews and promises to me. Like, I can't know, you know? I can't... Yeah. And there's a little bit of something to base it on. I mean, there's precedent for it, but it requires so much hope and so much belief on my part that... I guess that's why I didn't consider it. I mean, you're right. I think, if anything, that's a worthy suggestion. I just don't think that... I don't know. I couldn't put it in that class. I think I was basically just thinking about stuff that's like exists.
Yeah.
And is quite real.
So sorry out.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. Like, we'll see.
Yeah. Craig E. writes in and says, "Hey guys, your 2-hour Assassin's Creed 2 megathon last week really gave me an interest for the series. I know listening to your spoiler-laden show was ruining some surprises, but at that point, I hadn't really cared about anything Assassin's Creed related. After listening to the grand scope of the series' story, however, I can say I am really fucking interested in slitting Renaissance throats. Quick question. Should I get the original game? It's only $20 Canadian here, and it seems a decent price for an 07 release. If I didn't, instead read a synopsis of the game's story and just went straight to AC2, which is $70 here, I could save myself that $20. Of course, if I did this, it seems like if I ever felt like going back to the original, I'd be distracted by all the niggling annoyances that were alleviated in the newer iteration. What are your thoughts?"
I actually emailed him back directly because I didn't want to have to wait for the answer, but I will answer it here. Absolutely play the first one.
Yes.
If you have not played the first one, play the first one. Assassin's Creed 2 is mostly better, but not all. Like, there are things, and obviously you don't know because we talked about this last week, there are things in Assassin's Creed 2 that are not better than Assassin's Creed 1. There are things about Assassin's Creed 1.
In particular, the way 1 went about the assassinations.
Yeah, and the way that it handled its storytelling, it was so focused and so particular, and it is completely it's not represented in any way, shape, or form in the second game.
You have to experience it.
Yeah, you could read your synopsis, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But my recommendation, and this is for anybody else that might be considering the same thing, Assassin's Creed 1 is a much shorter game. All of the secondary sort of the things, the sort of ancillary bullshit like that 2 had that was fun to do, those same kind of things in 1 were not fun to do. Killing all the Templars, you run into them, you kill them, that's fine.
Yeah,
not fun. Seeking them all out, riding around through the goddamn kingdom, not especially fun.
Finding all
the flags was bullshit.
Yeah,
and the way that it was so structured, the way that it would work is that 90% of your story, hell, the whole goddamn story basically came from old boy back at your fortress.
Yeah.
He would tell you whatever. Then you would go talk to your assassin representative in Damascus / Acre / Jerusalem. And then you would proceed to do a handful of secondary objectives, which gave you, shed some light on the primary killing. And you had to do like, what, 2?
Yeah, not
you could
very
do
many.
All 6. Or whatever,
six
but you only had to do
like three or
four, you only had to do like 2 or 3.
2, 3, or 4
as a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So do those minimums, go kill your guy, and repeat the process. Do not do any of the secondary objectives. Only do the minimum number of sort of side things, I guess, to do your primary assassination, and you've lost no story because there are these protracted conversations with your assassination targets once you've killed them, and these very long conversations with your mentor and with the assassin representatives in each town. Like, that's entirely where the story is. If you stick just to that, you can blow through Assassin's Creed 1 in probably 6 hours.
Yeah, easy.
So, and just avoid all the secondary stuff, which is all better in Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh,
but those things are far better, in my opinion, in Assassin's Creed 1. That intimate, personal moment between you and your target is never fully realized in the second game. And you're right. Going from 2 back to 1, it would be kind of like going from, what the fuck? GTA. Like, going back to GTA 3 from either San Andreas or
Vice City.
Vice City in particular. I used to try to go back to 3 because I liked 3 a little bit better, but like, I can't tell you how pissed off I was that I couldn't jump out of a car that was moving. Like a little, like he says, a little niggling issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a big deal. So, you know, the fact that like, if you play 2 and then go back to 1 and you can't block with your one blade, you know.
Well, even that, you'll be walking up to 2 guys and being like, I'm going to take them both out. Oh, shit.
Yeah, the whole thing works differently. I just fully believe that there are certain experiences in the gameplay that matter most in Assassin's Creed 1, like in its purest form. So it's entirely my recommendation. And it can be played very quickly if you just stick to the most core elements of the game. And don't worry about missing the other stuff. It's all better in the second game.
Yeah.
But just that stuff in particular. Don't skip it.
No. Dinosaurus writes into us. Subject line, making games is hard, sad face. Hey, it's totally going to be robots. I'm a one-man operation, and I only got a couple of real-life friends I can talk to about the game, and I think we all think a bit too alike about games. Right now, I'm designing the protagonist and another robot so I can use them for my college application, explain the world a bit easier for people who don't know how I think and envision things. So far, I've decided it's going to be steampunk robots and have a technology spirituality theme, maybe. I hope it's all right if I pick your brains with this stuff a bit further down the road. Would be good to get a few different to get a different perspective on things.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to.
I love steampunk robots.
Robots?
Robot.
Robot.
Arvid Falk writes into us all the way from Sweden and says, I've been listening to you guys since the whole Evil Avatar thing and felt the need to thank you for the great stuff you put out. You're welcome, and thank you for listening. It's amazing to me how what a couple of dudes all the way across the pond sit down once a week to record somehow ends up as one of my highlights of the week. For me, the only other podcast out there to rival yours in terms of entertaining and intelligent video game discussion is the Giant Bombcast, so you're in good company there. Right now, I'm playing through Dragon Age for the second time and looking forward to Mass Effect 2 and Bad Company 2 early next year. Best wishes from Sweden, Arvid Falk. Well, thank you very much.
Love emails like that.
Yeah. I like Sweden, too. I like all your stuff over there. You guys got nice stuff up there in that place over there. All that whole group of you guys, man. I love the way you guys do stuff.
And apparently villains like your banks.
Do they? What are you talking about?
They're always like, oh, it's, you know.
You mean Switzerland?
Oh, it was Switzerland.
God damn it.
Woo! Yes! Fuck!
Scott showing his.
What the fuck is wrong
with
you?
I could totally edit this out. I could totally do it, but I'm not. I'm not going to do this. I could edit it out, you guys would never know, but I'm not. Really should.
Too late, my friend. The die is cast. I know you for what you are.
I don't even feel like reading anymore.
Just end the show right there.
Not to say that you guys don't have great banks or anything. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know,
but... sorry. Jesus, fuck. Okay, Maury Wood writes in. I've heard several podcasts, including yours. He goes and compliments us, and then I do that. Yeah, right, so, you know.
If you ever want Scott to insult your, like, country of origin or your name or anything like that, just send us, like, a glowing sort of congratulatory, thankful email, man, and he will run roughshod over your shit in no time flat.
I'm seriously embarrassed by that one. I'm so sorry. I really am. I'm sorry, Maury. I'm not going to read your email with as much enthusiasm as I had been because I hit a fucking wall of stupidity in my own head.
That's all right.
Sweden's where the chef is from.
Bork?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not...
Yes, to follow it up with a racial stereotype. That's good.
But that's what he says! Morgan Bird and Bork. That's what he does! And I love the Muppets. You have mail open. You read the next
one. It's going to be great when somebody from Mexico is going to write us one day. It's going to be like, I love Speedy Gonzales. We love you, Scott.
Maury Wood writes in, I've heard several podcasts, including yours, that have referred to Modern Warfare 2's story as Tom Clancy-like. Is this a reference to the stories of books written by Tom Clancy or the games? If you're referring to the games, then I agree. But if you're talking about the books, I find it to be a bigger stretch.
Definitely
definitely the games. I'm pretty sure that's where my head was. I was mostly in a space where I was thinking about Tom Clancy stuff. Like basically, since he sold his name to Ubisoft for the purposes of producing all that stuff, like where the games have gone, like.
They've taken on a pretty distinct feel.
Well, like, with the End War scenario and, like, the, some of the Rainbow Six stuff, like,
Actually, that last one.
Yeah, just like kind of going off into like goofball territory where where real tech, like extant or emergent technologies are of little or no importance to the to what's happening. And it's always been a hallmark of Clancy's fiction. So yeah, it I didn't really mean it to necessarily come from a literary space, but from the game space. It didn't even occur to me that I didn't make that clear.
Also, your talk about Battlefield Bad Company's 2 trailer spiked my interest in the game. My major problems with the first, which I picked up a couple of months ago, well after most everyone was finished with it, was the lack of entire building demolition and the lack of an iron sight on every gun. They may seem little, but they really broke up the experience for me. Trying to shoot some SMG and only having the screen zoom in on the reticle while you try to aim down the sights was quite annoying when other guns actually use the sights.
Yeah,
I looked
that's
at a game,
actually true.
Yeah, I looked at a gameplay and saw that both of my problems had been rectified. Congratulations! You guys are probably responsible for me buying Bad Company 2.
Yeah, I'm looking, man, and look, I'm gonna take that opportunity to kind of shift off into another news story that we didn't cover before.
Party chat.
Which is, there. I mean, on the one hand, you could say that they are basically looking at every single gaffe that Infinity Ward or Activision has made and responding accordingly. Or you could simply say that they're maintaining their design parameters from previous iterations and just sort of pointing out this is what it is, you know, and it's really good shit. I will not. I mean, I will gladly take all of the new attention that it's getting. It was underloved before in terms of a console game, understandably. Mm-hmm. I know some people have kind of harshed on it because it's so, like, we haven't really heard anything about the single player this time around, and mm-hmm. I just want to make it really clear that that's never been what it's all about. Like, such a fun and interesting single-player experience in Bad Company 1 was not a fluke, obviously, but just never expected. I didn't expect it, and if I get that, great. If they just deliver like an unbelievably solid multiplayer experience and didn't even give me a single-player experience, I'd buy it. I'd eat it up. That's what Battlefield is to me. And it's never going to be everybody's cup of tea. It's different, and I don't want to convert everybody to it. But I also want to point out that this is hardly another Me Too shooter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is no sort of like also ran.
I can even tell that not from just the playing the first, but just watching you that day when you jumped in just to test your TV.
Yeah.
You know, I could see that this was a little bit more serious, a little bit more. It felt like what Infinity Ward was wanting to be, or was
possibly
wanting people to think that they were. Maybe, you
know? It's a lot of things that Call of Duty simply won't ever be.
It just feels comfortable. Or even just the look.
It's good stuff. I like it a lot. I like what they do. It's not the prettiest thing in the whole world, but they get a lot done with what they're working with, and they have made so many significant changes, like total structure deformation, like the manipulation of the did you play Bad Company?
No.
You did not. Gotta get you guys in on 2. Like, my people on 2. But
I'll be there.
The more I've thought about it, like, the more I've realized it's really intelligent the way they've modified some of what the classes have. And I still clearly don't have a full understanding of class evolution, mm-hmm. you know, over time, like unlocks and everything. But like given the sniper, the C4, you know, like, I thought was really weird. That was always a spec op thing. The sniper had the sniper could illuminate targets and then call in JDAM missile strike. Like, it totally defined them as the long range engagement guy, but to like put C4 in their kit, like, that's very personal. Like, C4 is very localized, very personal, very objective oriented type of thing. So is that an attempt to sort of draw them out from totally hidden sniper spots, you know? that in concert with the very limited kill cam type of thing, or killer cam, I guess. I don't know. But I am struck by their efforts to make a difference between this game and the last.
Mm-hmm.
So the more people I can excite into having an interest in the game, the better I feel.
And it really only took that video for me, although, you know, watching you play it.
Yeah.
Went a long way as well, but didn't have to go far to do that from what the trailer, or for what that little piece of gameplay video had already sold me on. Mario goes on to say, P.S. Hulu has 5 episodes of MST3K up for the holidays as of this email. I've only seen a little bit of the show before, but after your recommendations, I'm going to have to find some time to watch those episodes. Yes, you are. I don't know what episodes they are, but it really doesn't matter.
Mitchell! Hanging on the corner.
Mitchell heart pumping, Mitchell veins clogging.
Mitchell!
Mitchell!
can anybody else access in-game chat's mail right now? It's not letting me go back. It's not letting me get out of this email.
Okay. Really?
What was the last one you read? Who's it from?
It says Modern Warfare 2, Battlefield Bad Company 2, and some MST3K.
Oh, okay. All right.
There shouldn't have been, but like maybe one or two left, I believe.
Yeah, I think all we had after that was a voicemail.
That is all we had after that.
Maybe that's... Okay, if that's all we had, that's great. Because this is not...
You need me to play that shit?
No, the voicemail's working. For whatever reason, the in-game chat was not working for me for some reason, so...
But yeah, the voicemail's on in-game chat.
No, my...
Yeah.
I can't go back. All I can see is this email.
Uh-huh.
It's not going back to the rest of the mail.
To the inbox.
Right.
You said back. You just can't get to your inbox.
I can't get to my inbox. But I can get to my voicemail box.
Hmm.
You have a separate voicemail box?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, here we got a voicemail. So it's from Kevin.
Hey guys, what's up? I heard you guys talk about some more Left 4 Dead. They patched it? Great. That'll be awesome. We got to get back into that. And RJ, taking video game handouts is not a sin. Look, it's all about conformity. So fucking conform. Talking bastards. Anyway, fellas, talk to you later. Great fucking show last run. Super Pope shit. It was awesome. I'm only halfway through it. I gotta listen to the rest of it. Anyway, I'll talk with you guys later. See you online and keep up the good fucking informative journalist work. Talk to you guys. Peace.
I like how I'm gonna tell you, Google Voice Transcription sure as fuck knows what fuck is. Because it very carefully didn't even bother to translate that shit. It absolutely redacted fuck every time he said it.
See you online and keep up the good informative juror was work.
Yeah. He's having a lot of fun.
It has no problem with bastard, though.
No.
That's perfectly okay.
So. Kevin's having a lot of fun right now because he experienced his first... piece of corporate malfeasance in EVE.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, one of the top guys. He's, you know, in like a 120 man corp or something, and like one of the top guys was like kind of pissed off that nobody else was toeing the line or whatever in accordance with some sort of imaginary set of rules. Whatever. He was pissed off, so he like stole a bunch of shit. Like, stole everything he could, hired a bunch of mercs to destroy what he couldn't steal, and, like, just fucking carved a rift right down the middle of the corp, you know? And Kevin was still, like, at such an introductory, you know, sort of pawn level with the whole thing that he, like, didn't have any investment in the whole deal, you know? He had all of his shit backed up somewhere else where you should, and he basically just sort of slipped quietly out while a civil war developed. Because a bunch of guys split off and went and formed another corp. And, you know, while the existing corp was trying to, like, figure out what the fuck to do with itself and all of its anger, this new corp declared war on that corp, and, you know, it was all fucking great and shit. And he was like, whatever, man. I'm not invested in this shit. I'm going back to solo mercenary stuff until I figure out what to do. He's been, like, it's so exciting to him. It's, like, awesome. Sends me voicemails and text messages every day talking about it.
That is one thing I got to admit I did like about hearing about EVE was that you really could kind of have that corporate spies and
yeah,
sabotage
man,
thing.
That shit's like,
and it's not like a gameplay driven thing. That's like
no, it's
human beings saying, "Man, Fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it is active and it is an active and important part of the player experience at every level, which is why some people which is why the group play can be so tight and important, because you never know, like, random Joe Blow, like, just, you know, that wants to join your corp and be a pawn, like, you never, just some guy, you never know what he really is.
Yeah.
You know? Is he the second face of a double agent from another corp, you know? Is he trying to get some basic information on your shit? Or is he, you know, just gonna, like, muck up your works or something like that, or report back to his overlords or something? You know, you never know. It's always a thought that you never know who this person is. And who the person is of premier importance.
Yeah.
So, which is simply not necessary. It's just simply not true in other MMOs. So, I don't know. Which does kind of remind me. I mean, that was obviously our last thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, it does remind me. I haven't played, you know, Z Warcraft in months, really. But they released their, what really is like, what is the final content patch before Cataclysm. Like, oh. Ice Crown Citadel. They're doing sort of a they're doing an artificial and timed lockout of the different wings of Ice Crown Citadel. So it's like they've got one wing open, and I believe it's like a month until the next one opens, and then another period of time, I suppose, until somebody does their first live poll of Arthas, you know, like, whatever. That's fine. I'm not.
It's a staggered launch.
I don't play at that level, which is fine. But the thing that I find most interesting about what they've done in this patch, and I did vow to go back at least for a minute and, like, play with some of my friends at 3-3, because they have addressed something in a very particular way that I've thought is a problem for a long time. And they've, you know, they have, like, they created battle groups years and years and years ago. Which is a collection of servers. Like, every server exists in a battle group. And I believe every battle group is a collection of, like, 10 different servers, you know?
Yeah.
And the battle groups were designed to feed battleground play. So that you queue up to go play in a battleground, and you're not just waiting on people from your server. It's populated by a collection of people from your battle group. Which means that even if you and five other people are the only people playing Alterac Valley on your server, for example, it collects it from all these different people, and every game is just a random collection of people from the battle group, so you have a large pool to draw from, which means that you don't spend a lot of time waiting on a game.
Yeah.
What they've done is they have now approached their five-man dungeon system in the same way. They've essentially offloaded their instance servers from the individual realm servers and into the, I guess, the same sort of server space that the battleground servers are handled in. So now you can queue up to do random, like, basically do what is a random dungeon or a specific dungeon through an open interface that will connect you with... things barking over there. Fuck that thing. That will basically populate your five-man group with people from your battle group.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fucking badass because, like, the whole... And a lot of people don't think this. A lot of people are, like, sort of butthurt about it, but whatever. I think it's pretty good because there's a lot of elitism in just doing five-man grouping stuff where people just, you know, it's like, I don't actually want to have to work at this dungeon. I want you to have 4.5k DPS just to, like, clear a heroic. You know, and it's like, man, fuck you. This is like my fifth character. You know, like, he just dinged 80. I'm still running around in quest blues and, you know, like some bind on equip auction house bullshit. Like, fuck off, you know? But you can basically jump in this interface, choose your role, tank, healer, or DPS. The game does some sort of apparently very mild, kind of non-aggressive gear score checking in the background. It doesn't publish that information or anything for anybody to piss and moan about.
Yeah.
And then just tosses you in a group, you know? Or, like, you and two of your friends can get together, and if you don't like picking up random people from trade chat, you know, on your server full of assholes, you just randomly join up with other assholes from some other server, you know.
Yeah.
But this, it's good because none of any kind of bullshit. It has its drawbacks, and I think they're kind of obvious, is that you're not really beholden to anybody from some other server. But there's really no, like, no, there's really no kind of drama that can develop in a random group of people from random servers that kind of carries over into your individual populations. That's good. It means that grouping is a lot faster. It means that just because someone doesn't like you, you're not sort of de facto blacklisted just from doing some stuff. And it means, like, I know that running with your guild is always the best, but, you know, it's not always the case, you know. Maybe you have a small guild of people that aren't online all the time. Well, you know, fuck that. Just go run some random shit, you know. It's designed to let you around heroic lockouts, you know. You can just basically sit in a queue and run random shit all day. Or you can choose shit specifically and kind of run under different parameters. But it's like, it's the first system they've ever done, in my opinion, where modifying the whole looking for group thing that truly streamlines it and makes it ease of access kind of thing. I mean, they've driven people away from this whole, from a lot of the social culture in their game anyway. Mm-hmm. But they've used some existing tools to make what really is the workaday play of the game essentially painless to start. You still got to run the dungeon, you know.
Yeah.
And you might get a fail tank or a fail healer or an idiot mage that stands in the fire. Like, I don't know. But it seems like a really good thing. And what's most interesting to me is that, what the fuck is a realm anymore? Like, what the fuck does it really matter? If they can invent this technology to do random shit for a battleground and then apply that technology to instance grouping, it kind of stands to reason that the technology is sufficient to handle raids. I mean, I know that raids require a hell of a lot more of sort of a concert approach, you know, the coordination and the meaningful agreement on how shit's going to get done. But it kind of tells me that there's a future where the limitations of your individual realm, when you dedicate yourself to an MMO, they're not a problem that's going to exist and kind of perpetuate throughout your character's career. You know, like, what the fuck is a realm anymore? Like, a realm used to be the people you raided with, dungeon ran with, and PvP'd with. Well, anymore, you don't really PvP with them. Now you don't do 5-man instances with them. So what are they? They're the people who jack up the auction house prices and that, you know, you raid with. And even then, that's just your fucking guild. Like, I just begin to have a much better understanding of how a sort of minimized overworld Guild Wars style approach with this kind of technology on the back end could kind of eliminate the problems you get by, you know, stewing in a whole pot of assholes on a particularly bad server that you just don't like. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I begin to see this as a way to, not just for them to run World of Warcraft, but as a model that people might want to examine when building other MMOs. Which obviously sort of stands in contrast to this whole don't copy WoW thing, but that's just like don't copy WoW. But take design cues from them all goddamn day long. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Steal those underlying concepts from them if you can. But it makes me hopeful for a kind... I mean, and I do love the whole single universe of EVE type of deal. But at the same time, I've been agitated by the personality of an individual server, an individual realm of people. It can have a huge effect on how fun it is to play the game. And the cost in time or the cost in real money to move to another one is sometimes just like, nah, you know, not that great. Or, crap, I didn't know you played World of Warcraft. We should play together sometime. Yeah. Oh, fuck, you're on this server over here. Well, you know, whatever. I'm just beginning to believe that those barriers don't necessarily need to exist in any meaningful way to do the meaningful parts of the game. It's a big deal. I've been working way too much to have had a chance to play this, and you know, clearly Tuesday when they added the patch was no time to play. That shit didn't even work until like 7 fucking p.m. That was like me logging on. You know, that wasn't like everything works right. That was just me being able to log into my realm. So, I don't know. I want to try it out, and maybe I'll care, maybe I won't. I said I would come back, and I'm going to come back and do that. But at the very least, I think it's kind of a good teachable moment. This is where these guys believe the future to be. So, I don't know. It's noteworthy.
Yeah. We'll see.
We also got the Dante's Inferno demo today.
Oh, is it today?
On the PlayStation Network, anyway. On the PS3. Yeah.
How are they doing that? How are they getting stuff?
I don't know, man. You saw the collector's edition or the
collector's
whatever.
Collector's edition.
Same price.
And the Bad Company 2 beta.
Yeah, man.
Like, they got a couple things. That's fun. Yeah. Good for, I mean, you know, whatever. It doesn't mean shit, but it's kind of fun. I got both. Yeah, I don't have to be a fan of either one.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of games.
Well, that's it.
It is.
So, we'll come back and do this again next week. Maybe RJ will do this next week. Hope he will. He had some engine trouble. He's not sick. He's fine. He just couldn't join us. Anyway, that's it. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Yep.
From Sweden.
What the fuck game are you talking about?